I want to know why he's not on there, too. I don't know.
Oh, shut up.
You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Who's that? All right, nobody panic. Probably just Lawrence.
Good evening, sir. My name is Steve. I come from a rough area. I used to be a digital crab, but now I'm off and trying to stay clean.
Okay.
That is why I'm selling magazine subscriptions.
No.
And I was hoping you could help me out.
You used to be addicted to crack?
Yeah,
Look, I'm very sorry. I do not know anything about any money laundering.
No, we're not asking you about money laundering. All we need is for you to hook us up with
Michael. If he doesn't know anybody, wants to hook us up with.
Wait a minute. Look, you just give us the name of one drug dealer. I mean, I could talk to him. I have good networking skill.
I lied. All the stuff I said about being a crackhead just helps me sell magazines. I'm actually an unemployed software engineer.
You're a software engineer?
Yep.
Things, it must be very rough for you.
Actually, man, I make more money selling magazine subscriptions than I ever did at Intertrode.
At Intertrode?
Wait a minute, you're not going to tell anybody about all this stuff we told you. I mean, we know a lot of the same people. That's...
Actually, that all depends.
What am I going to do with 40 subscriptions to Vibe?
Doing here? I was right, wasn't I? You sabotaged all the other missions. I find that totally unacceptable.
You got me wrong. All these years fighting, shooting and killing, I can't go on.
Hey, rainy face. Hey, proud warrior. Let the sun come out, you big bad G.I. Joe. You know, Kitten, we all have permission to make mistakes. It's called learning. You give Uncle Topper a nice big blow.
I'm done.
Attaboy.
Thank you, Topper. I can kill again. You've given me a reason to live.
Good.
Is that yours?
Don't touch it. It's Uncle Rico's.
What's it for?
It's a time machine, Napoleon. You bought it online.
You're right.
It works, Napoleon. You don't even know.
You guys tried it yet?
No. So are you ready?
Yeah, hold on. Got to put in the crystals. Okay, turn it on. It's a piece of crap. It doesn't work.
I could have told you that.
part of jungle.
Woo! Hey, everybody! It's Friday! Woo-hoo! Noah Mulberry! Hey, everyone! Welcome to the show! Film, television, pop culture. Yeah! Boom goes the dynamite. Hey, everybody! Welcome to the show. We're here talking film, television, pop culture, and all that kind of stuff. DVDs, TiVos, digital cameras. What? No, we don't talk about digital cameras. We can if you want, but no, we don't really want to. But welcome to the show. It's so nice to have all of you here. It's great. We're on Now Live still. And just as we're about to add a webcam, they remove the feature. So, but we have here Steven, the Pop Culture Zone. How you doing, Steven?
Just fine. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here, Steven. Sorry you couldn't be on webcam tonight.
I was so looking forward to it.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Salutations.
Hey, Bill. Nice to have you here also. My computer's all fixed. No video card problems anymore. Just canceled that order I had and went to Fry's and bought a card. Who knew you could do that? You don't need to order. You can just go buy it.
That retail does work sometimes.
I love Jason calls me up. Hey, dude, what should I get, the 256 or the 512?
I was like, really, I don't really need this, but I'm going to go ahead. You know, it's total guy thing, like big number. I'm going with that one. You know what I mean? It's just like the same thing.
He wanted that extra push to make him get the 512.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing with TVs or cars or whatever. Four-cylinder. I want six-cylinder. Eight-cylinder. It's with TVs.
I'm getting a 60 inch.
120 hertz. I want 240 hertz. You know, it's the same thing as that. It's just guys are dumb, you know, aren't we? We're stupid. Numbers, if they're bigger, that's better. But anyway, that's all fixed, and I'm really happy about that. And, you know, I was just joking around thinking of getting a webcam or whatever. I thought it would be kind of cool. But apparently Now Live has removed that feature, but you can get it for the pro broadcaster thing. Is that what it said, Bill?
Yeah, like, what the hell is that? What?
You have to pay.
You have to pay to use Now Live?
No, you don't have to pay for broadcasting. You pay for the video feature, I guess, that's better quality. I don't know. I'd have to read it, but... Barbecues Galore was posting that in there. It's no biggie, but hey, if we really wanted to have a video cast, we would go to Stickcam or whatever, wouldn't we? But Bill, didn't you say it's just for like teenagers and perverts?
It's for teenagers and pederasts.
Yeah. Except for Leo Laporte does his thing on there constantly.
He's a pederast.
No, Leo! No, he's actually keeping that place in business, is what I'm thinking. Because they have him, like if you go
after
to
you said that,
Stickcam.
I went to the Twitcast and watched.
It's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, I was telling Bill, like, most of the shows, you know, I can't watch, but I like the idea and the concept of it. I can't watch some guy talking about Macs all day, you know? Especially since I don't even own one. So what the hell is this guy talking about? But it's really
I tried watching it the other night whenever you sent me a link, and they had... Who the hell are those two people that were on Tech TV?
Martin Sargent
and Sarah Lane. And they are doing This Week in Fun. And it was kind of This Week in Shit. It was really bad.
They were going over silly news stories, kind of like we do. They need Foggy in there playing drops, I think.
I've never found that Martin Sargent funny.
But I like never. That Sarah Lane, though.
Yeah, Sarah Lane, she needs to find her little niche there. That little show that they have, I think what it is Leo goes to bed... And they just take over the studio. And
that's creepy.
They need to come up with a... But yeah, you just leave us... Okay, he's asleep. Let's start our show.
Somebody in my house doing a show while I'm in bed. I mean,
But the concept behind what Leo's done, he's got multiple camera setups. Whenever he talks about something like a video, he cuts to that where the viewer at home can watch the video playing or whatever. How cool would that be if we had something like that where, like, let's check out Hell's Kitchen. I'd have a clip there,
something like that.
It'd be kind of neat. It would also be a big pain in the ass to come to work.
Yeah, well, also we could get busted for, not paying rights to broadcast that stuff.
No, I think they'd be flattered by Nowhere Mulberry covering
it. You're not making money off of it, so They can't.
Hey, that's so great. Those guys are doing that.
If we were making money off of it, I think they could do something.
We would be sponsored by Hulu. That's what I was telling Bill. That's our ultimate sponsor there, Hulu. You know, it's like, hey, I get all my clips off of Hulu. We might as well sponsor us. Sorry, I steal all the clips. I'm just kidding. I don't steal anything. I pay for it through tedious hard work. That's how I pay for it. Yeah. So
Yeah.
Let's briefly mention the Oscars, okay? I watched the Oscars, and I thought Hugh Jackman did a pretty good job. I thought it was entertaining. It was fun, whatever. But my main thing, Bill, is I read a lot of people were really offended or upset over Queen Latifah singing the death segment. You know, they always show the deaths, and they have this little montage of all the people mm-hmm. that died, and Queen Latifah was singing over it, right?
I didn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
It was a little bizarre, but here's my kind of... Why offended? They're dead. They don't give a shit. They're dead.
Yeah, I wasn't particularly offended by anything. I found it disturbing just because every time I see her, I think of Pizza Hut commercials.
And Dip
and the fact that she's her girlfriend is one of the girls on Deal or No Deal.
Nice. Oh, she's doing good. But also,
she prefers the hot ones.
I would, if I was dead and I had royalty singing to me as I was being honored.
Right?
The Queen of Latifah.
The Queen of Latifah. That's quite
what
an
the
honor.
Hell is her real name?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Who knows?
Dipitosity.
But I got to say, the funniest thing, I love the whole Steve Martin and Tina Fey thing where they come out about screenwriting.
Don Chep cracks me up. Okay, he's on my Facebook page. And the night after the Oscars, he puts, "Where was Patrick McGoohan?" And now in the chat room, he just wrote again, "Where's Patrick McGoohan? Who fucking cares?"
What are you talking? No, wait. Did Patrick McGoohan die this year or last year?
You know what? He probably didn't make the cut because there's a certain cut. If you remember, Heath Ledger was on it last year. That's why he wasn't on it this year.
Well, it's like, remember,
well,
we were
what?
Like, "Where's?"
Not everybody can make. Can make the thing. He's complaining that he died the same day as Ricardo Montalban. Well, guess what? Ricardo Montalban, more famous than Patrick McGoohan.
I want to know why he's not on there, too. I don't know.
Oh, shut up. Mm-hmm.
But sorry about that, Bill. Didn't mean to offend you about Patrick McGoohan.
he's like, maybe so, but he was in Braveheart. Who cares? Really?
He was great in Braveheart, though. I have nothing against him. I don't know why he wasn't in there.
I just think it's so funny that one person is hung up on the fact that one person wasn't in it.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that, Don Chep. Maybe they'll work him in next year.
Yeah, maybe they'll put him in next year. Like, died, oh, I'm sorry, our bad.
He died before they got the list all... I mean, after the list was already done.
Right.
Now we can't add him in there.
Kind of shot my wheels off there, but I was talking about the Steve Martin, Tina Fey thing. It was so...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
Their whole thing was funny because they kind of made fun of Scientology.
Kind of is an understatement.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what they said, but they were talking about their... the Rondu or something
that. they were talking about, it was about screenwriting, and then they said, like, seeds were once, trees were once a seed, and seeds were planted here by the great intergalactic ruler Rondelay.
Yeah.
It was great. That was the only part of the entire show I enjoyed.
And Tina Fey said, "Oh, stop! No one cares about our
Ben
religion."
Ben Stiller making fun of
that we made up.
Too.
Right, right.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, he was making fun of Joaquin Phoenix on Letterman. But I wondered how many people got that joke. Like, some people probably what the hell is he
somebody
doing?
Somebody on the Independent Spirit Awards did the same thing. Like the night before, the day before. It was almost the exact same bit, except the other person was Batman, and he was playing like the whole Christian Bale thing, yelling at him. So he kind of ripped it off from whoever did it on the Independent Spirit
Awards.
Maybe
it's the kind of thing where, I mean, I like the whole idea that everything seemed light and kind of just silly. They weren't being stuffy. That was cool. But anyway, we spent way too much time on the Oscars. Besides that, it was fine. And
it was okay. It was nothing special.
And I would have been honored by Queen Latifah singing for me.
I think it ran like 30 minutes long, but I think that could have... If they would have cut out all the stupid friggin' musical things, I think it would have ran on time. Hugh Jackman just loves to be like, "Hey, I can sing and dance."
Like, I love singing and dancing. But Bill, we got this weird voicemail. I have no idea what it is or who this is, but maybe you can recognize the voice. I don't know.
Hello, where's Mulberry Bill?
That's all that it is. Kind of creepy.
That sounds like Andy.
Andy from you used to go to school with, that Andy?
No, Andy from the Hollywood Saloon, Andy. Or, I'm sorry, the Apocalypse Hollywood Andy.
Hello, where's Mulberry Bill?
No, that doesn't sound like Andy to me.
Maybe it's Antibird.
Hello, where's Mulberry Bill?
Mulberry Bill. But we got another voicemail from Swiley. Oh, well, this isn't from Swiley. How did I mess that up? That's so funny. I was probably reading the Swiley feedback while doing this voicemail. Here's a voicemail from Izzy.
Swiley, you never know.
Yeah, Swiley, if you send a voicemail, I'll play it.
Hey, guys. I want to ask you a question. I don't understand why you didn't do the live podcast show. But let me ask you, would you guys ever consider doing a live commentary type thing for another show like Smallville or, you know, I don't know, Top Chef or Hell's Kitchen? Because when you guys talk over the clips or whatever, that stuff is so funny. I'd love to hear like a live version you guys talking over a whole show. Take care.
That sounds like a pain in the ass there, Izzy.
Yeah, you know, I think at night while that stuff's on, we're normally busy. You're busy with your family and I'm busy with myself.
And if we did it, it would have to be either like the season finale or the season opener.
You know what? I would understand that for like a reality show, but I don't think I would bother.
If we were to ever do that, it would not be live. I can say that right now.
I could see us doing a live commentary of Heroes.
Good Lord. It'd have to be after I've already seen it, though, you know?
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah, talk about Heroes this week. I would have been this is the worst live commentary I've ever heard. The dude's asleep on it. But seriously, no, thanks, Izzy. You know, well, I thought about stuff like that for TV shows, but definitely not live. That doing it live would just be too much of a headache, you know, because when stuff comes on, like you said, Bill, my family's home and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we definitely consider doing that recorded, you know, something like that.
You just have to have it on your TiVo so that you could watch it.
See,
back.
That whole thing is weird because you have to have the timing could be off or.
Right.
Well, even I
plus
mean,
you have commercials and stuff. Yeah, you have to do it live for it to work. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or just leave the commercials in when you watch it, the playback. That's what it would be.
Even if we did it live, it would still be off because of the second delay.
Yeah, so no, we won't be doing that.
Yeah, short answer, no.
We'll do it when it's on DVD and all the commercials are cut out. How about that? But let's go ahead and check out Entertainment. Thanks for that voicemail, Izzy. Now, I see that... Did Street Fighter come out this week?
It came out today, I believe.
The Legend of Chun-Li? I haven't seen the reviews, but I'm sure they're bad. It looked bad to me.
The Legend of Lana Lang?
What is it on Rotten Tomatoes?
Rotten?
Or this might be a movie they didn't let people review, though.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
Do that.
You know what? I think... When you're dealing with a movie like Street Fighter, I mean, why hold it from reviewers, honestly?
It's like, yeah, we don't expect it to be really good.
Holy crap. Right now, it's got a 0-0.
Wow, so they withheld it from reviewers, basically.
No, there's 14 reviews for it so far, and all of them are rotten.
Oh. That's not good. Definitely not good. Just from the trailer, it looks really cheap. And that poor Neil McDonough guy, he was so cool on Band of Brothers. Can this guy not get a decent job?
No, he was in the really horrible Walking Tall remake.
Yeah, he was the bad guy in that.
Chris Klein is in it, who just can't get good work either. And
it's always funny when they cast someone like who you know would get their ass kicked against the hero in a movie. It's like John Lithgow and Cliffhanger against Sylvester Stallone. It's like, oh, I can't wait for this fight at the end. Like, Sylvester Stallone would have any problem kicking his ass.
This is going to be epic.
Yeah, it's when Neil McDonough
is like a dude that
fighting,
should be wearing a suit and tie fighting a guy.
When he's fighting The Rock, you know, it's just like, it's no point in even watching. He's going to get his ass kicked. But, yeah, Street Fighter. I'll check that out when it's on cable, I guess. But
maybe.
You were telling me that there's this new Wayne Kramer movie that's come out called Crossing Over.
Yeah.
It's all about crossing over the border into America from Mexico, right?
Yes, it is.
It's got Harrison Ford in it, and who else?
Ray Liotta.
Who's always good.
Yeah.
He is always good. He
is. Even in shit, he's always good. Remember that horrible movie he did called Unforgettable?
Right.
With Linda Fiorentino? I even like that.
And John Dahl did that, too.
Yeah.
But,
well, you can't win them all.
Yeah, but this movie, what I was going to say is Crossing Over, I haven't heard anything about it till when you told me about it, and I guess it's in small markets only or something. What is this with all these movies?
Coming out for small market.
Yeah.
Weinstein Brothers.
Did they do this one too? Don't tell me they did this movie too, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Can they not afford to wide release anything?
They just, you know what, I think they're just being very frugal because they don't have the money. They spend it all during Oscar season to promote horrible movies to get nominations like The Reader.
Right. So, whatever. But hey, Bill, I wanted to say that you sent me Grand Theft Auto for Christmas.
Yeah, I did.
I got it this week.
For Christmas.
For Christmas.
For Christmas.
You told me it would be belated.
Yeah, I did tell you it would be belated. So
but I've been playing Grand Theft Auto 4 all week, and I got to tell you, I've played the other ones. I played the Grand Theft Auto on the PS1 or
2
on PS2.
Yeah.
There was Grand Theft Auto Vice City and the one before that. I played those two.
Grand Theft Auto 3, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and then Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
I never played San Andreas. But I got to say that I always love the games and I love the detail in it, but I would get really sick of it after a while, or I just would lose interest.
I tried it on the PSP, and it's like...
But
Liberty City Stories, yeah, I played that one too.
But this game is way different. It's like everything is stepped up storyline-wise. The writing, the voice acting, all that. Not to mention the detail in the city, it's a real living, breathing city. It just like, I don't know how they did it, but this is incredible what they've done. The weather effects, all of that, the way it goes from day to night. You can go and watch TV. There's different channels and shows on. Of course, it's always been like that with the radio shows, which is always hilarious. You can go online in the game. There's websites and stuff like that. It's just crazy detail, you know? And,
yeah, they've created literally an entire world. It's very cool.
And you're Nico.
Nico Bellic.
Nico Bellic. And you're a total badass. I think Nico, the guy that you are, is just a badass. You know, and
badass in a jogging suit.
The missions are so cool. And they finally got the targeting right in this game. Because the other games, it would be a pain in the ass. But there's scenes where things go bad and you have a gunfight. And I get excited. All right, a gunfight. You know, you're... how much does the shotgun rule in this game, though, Bill?
Oh, man. Wait till you get a hold of the Lost and the Damned. They put a new shotgun in there, this, like, assault auto shotgun.
Oh, man.
Just, it is vicious.
I always had fun with the samurai in Vice City.
The samurai sword, yeah. But
yeah, they changed up the targeting system to, like, an assisted targeting where... you can lock on and then switch targets by using the right stick.
Right. There's a couple of times where that's messed me up a little, but it's no big deal.
Used to it.
Plus, they've added a cover system, which helps tremendously.
I even love the animation. It does this cool bullet time death scene when you get shot. It's like, you know how it does? It goes to black and white and you're flying through the air or something. I think that's really cool. But the way the missions are, when you're going to do something, like you have to chase some guy down. Like there was one where Nico, you're on a motorcycle and you chase this other guy on a motorcycle and you're weaving through traffic and stuff. He's shooting at you, you're shooting at him, and it's a big pain in the ass. You die multiple times, but you finally catch up to him and he hooks up with his other biker buddies and they're coming after you and they're like, oh shit! And you're going through a park and you're in a shootout. It's just by the time it's all over and you complete it, it's just like, damn, that was exciting. You know, it's just like then you cool off and you go to the strip club or something like that. The strip
get a lap dance.
The strip club is hilarious too. You go in there and it's just chicks stripping and they come up, "Hey baby, you want a lap dance?" And you go get a lap dance or something. It's hilarious.
What cracks me up is you can get a lap dance and then you can pay up to 3 times, and if you go to the third one, it's a 2-woman thing.
Yeah, another chick shows up. "Hey, can I join this party?" And the stuff Nico says, he goes, "Are you chick's cousins or something?" He's like, "Does your mommy and daddy know what you're doing?" And the people you interact with are hilarious too. There's this Rasta guy, little Jacob. You don't understand a word he's saying.
It's so funny. You have to turn on the subtitles to even understand, but even the subtitles are written
they don't make phonetically sense
to Jamaican. So it's...
But I got to say, there's this part, there's weird stuff that happens in the game. Like, you meet up with this crackhead guy. He's like, "Yo, man, can you take me somewhere? I got something to show you. It's really exciting. You've never seen anything like this." And he's like, "Okay, I'll take you." And you take him, and he buys this giant crack rock. He goes, "Look at this giant crack rock." So you're taking him by crack. And he's like, "See you later." And he drives away or whatever. Or he walks away, and you're like, I was like, "That's what he wanted to show me, a big crack rock?" It's hilarious. I'm so addicted to this game right now. And like you were saying, Lost in the Damned is like a new chapter that they made, right? On Xbox Live.
Yeah, it follows this biker gang, the Lost Motorcycle Club, and it's vice president leader, this Johnny Kleebitz. And it's very cool because the stories intersect with Nico Bellic and his cousin Roman.
Well, I noticed you keep hearing stuff on the radio about the Lost Motorcycle Gang in the background, which is really cool. You hear about a serial killer, and you also hear about terrorism, how stuff isn't open, and the commercials on the radio are hilarious. But Grand Theft Auto, it's like a movie almost, you know, just like, it's just as entertaining as any movie. The stuff you have to, you're working for one guy, then you have to, he betrays you and you have to take him out, and then you get a job with another guy. It's just crazy how interwoven it is.
I always had fun with all the Grand Theft Autos.
Yeah, I'm just saying that this has held my interest compared to the other ones, you know. But,
and it will. That's what's so great about this one. There's like, I think, just story-wise, it took me like 60 hours to complete the story. And it just, there's so many twists and turns, and the characters are fleshed out. And it really is a tremendous game. I was like trying to debate what to get you for Christmas. It was either going to be Gears of War 2 or Grand Theft Auto 4. And I thought, you know, out of both of them, Gears of War 2 is good. It's fun. There's co-op possibilities and everything. But Grand Theft Auto 4 is just so deep. It's such a great game to really show off what gaming is now.
Yeah, the replayability, the fact that you can go into, like, you can take girls out on dates and play darts with them or go bowling or something. And you could go to this weird, what would you call that place? That Perestroika Club where you see
the cabaret.
This weird magician does tricks, and there's always some kind of, like, he's knife throwing, and he purposely throws the knife at the girl because he's pissed off at her or something. And the weird chick who does weird poems and stuff. There's also, it's such weird dark humor in the game.
And there's the comedy club too.
Yeah, I haven't made it to the comedy club yet, and I can't wait to get that far. But it's really cool. Next week, I believe Watchmen comes out. Am I right?
Yeah, it comes out Friday, March 6th, is it?
I'm going to have to...
Yeah, I'm on vacation. Awesome.
Steven, we're going to have to go see it on a Wednesday or something, so by Friday we can talk about it. You know what I'm saying? So
is
we'll talk...
Does it have an early release, or is it that...
Let's see. When
it'll probably... There'll be a midnight
showing
on Friday.
Thursday.
So we won't be able to talk about it on the show.
It'll be midnight Thursday.
Friday morning. I already have my tickets bought for the IMAX.
Nice.
So you got to stay up late, Jason, on Thursday night.
I don't know if I can. I'll see if I can. But anyway, we'll talk about it no matter what. How's that? So let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVos. Okay, now, last week we talked about Snoop Dogg After Dark, and they had Paris Hilton on there, and I was like, that'll be the last time we ever mention that show. It looked pretty bad, but this week, This week, he had a new guest, Todd Bridges from Different Strokes. And I was like, dude, gotta cover this. Because apparently the Snoop Dogg, he's a huge fan of the Todd Bridges. Let's check it out. And by the way, maybe Snoop Dogg might want to do a show where it's not loud as hell in the background. You can barely hear anything.
Is this Todd Bridges, my main man? What's up, nephew?
What's up, baby? How you doing?
Good, man. How you been, man?
I'm good, man. Thank you for coming to the show, man. You know I'm a big fan of yours. Grew up loving what you did and just down with you in general, man. Now, what I want to know is, now, what about Charlene?
Now, Janet, now.
Girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my girl.
See, you had JD and all these others.
Yeah.
They don't know nothing about Charlene.
Nah, that was
they
my
got
girl.
Her when she was Janet. You had her when she was Charlene when the whole world drooled over.
In the
over.
Very beginning, we dated for like 2 years, and that was I can't say much because I don't want Janet to come find me.
No, it's all good. But that was great TV, man. That was.
Yes,
I mean,
was.
We looked
that
up
was
to
great
that
TV.
You was cold with it too. You had her on your
about you
to
fucking your sister
like,
you had that ended up dying.
Ladies, can y'all come in and take care of Mr. Bridges? What I want y'all to do, I want y'all to give him a manicure and a pedicure, and I would love for y'all to give him a with a different stroke.
Okay.
Wow.
We can do that.
I'll holler back at you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
Shit, I know Snoop Dogg would hook you up with a hand job. But when he goes, what's up, nephew? Is that like a cool thing to say, or is he really his nephew?
I have no idea.
What's up, second cousin? Maybe it's
I am so out of the loop on the entire
slang.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing, though. We're not hip to that. But
it's so funny, though. As I've aged, I just don't care.
As you've aged, I've never cared. But you got to invent your own slang. Like Trippin' Dickie.
Yeah, cuz bro.
Cuz bro. Broham. Now, okay, bro. Real World Brooklyn is a good show to watch. Remember we were talking about why do they keep covering New York and shows? But I was like, Real World Brooklyn, yo. What are you talking? Who you think you're talking to? We're in Brooklyn. And they've got the Real World house full of them. I bet you, Brooklyn being such a happy place, they will get along. Let's go ahead and check it out.
You don't want to waste the energies with us?
Because I haven't seen any effort put forth to ask me any questions.
Sarah, we do not have any effort on anybody's behalf to try to get close to anyone.
I'm just angry. Just so frustrated. This whole week, I mean, it led to this big blowdown. Personal with you.
Blowdown.
That's new slang.
It's not like that.
You don't even know.
You don't even know.
Whoa.
You just contradicted yourself.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the thing that we're talking about.
Jesus, don't go contradicting yourself around that guy.
Yeah. Don't bust your shit up.
What the hell is that guy? What is a big blowdown?
Or should I say bust your shit down?
Yeah, it's the opposite. It's not blow up anymore. It's a blowdown, Steve.
It's a blowdown.
Yo, we're going to have a blowdown? It's like, dude, I'm not sucking your dick. No, that's not what it means. It means we're getting the blow up. Let us call the blow down. You know?
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
I'm confused.
Just stay away from my crotchal area, please.
Stay away from the blowing area.
What the f***? You just contradicted yourself.
Sorry. Steven, you contradicted yourself.
I know.
Okay, let's talk about Hell's Kitchen first and then Top Chef. How about we do that?
Okay.
Okay, first of all, on Top Chef, it starts out with...
Wait, you said Hell's Kitchen.
I mean, yeah, let's start first of all on Hell's Kitchen.
Yep.
You
just contradicted yourself.
Damn it!
What the f***?
You just about to blow down, yourself. You know?
Sorry, I don't want to have a blowdown. But Hell's Kitchen was great. They made breakfast for cheerleaders and football player kids. Great, huh?
Nice.
Yeah, that's genius.
And this show, the
How do you
editing.
Screw up breakfast for kids.
You know, the whole key to the art of editing, and I'm not trying to be a blowhard here, but is for it to be seamless and unnoticeable. That's great editing. The fact that this movie, this TV show. Causes all sorts of weird paradoxes in my brain that, like, the synapses thing snapping in my brain. It's not, everything's
it's
wrong.
It's never cohesive. Yeah,
yeah it's just yeah. like.
I've watched the show and I hear Doc Brown in the alternate 1985 talking about paradoxes.
Exactly. It's like everything is out of sequence. Nothing makes sense. The Colleen cheering, and they show their kids cheering. But then when you show her cheering again, you notice in the background none of the kids are doing anything. They're all sitting at their tables. So they did it out of sequence.
Obviously, the production team is just incredibly lazy. They obviously coach these people to do, like, pickup shots. Like, you know what would be a good idea? Why don't you do some cheering? You know, it's so sloppy. The entire show is just terribly sloppy.
My favorite thing is that they do this on Kitchen Nightmares, too, when they show the reactions from people.
In the dining area.
Yeah, they have wide eyes. And you know they're not even reacting to whatever's going on. They just edit in their face going, you know, it's so bad.
If I heard a plate drop or something.
So, first of all, the guys finally lost this because they didn't make eggs fast enough. Seth didn't, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they get in this really...
scrambled eggs is really difficult.
Ben and Danny get into this stupid fight. And, of course, we have to check it out.
Dude, you know these are kids. They're going to order scrambled eggs, dude. You should have had a big Teflon pan in there, man.
Everybody's at fault. It's not just one person. If it was just one person, that would mean that we're not a team anymore.
I thought we had it in the bag. Those eggs, man, killed us.
Let's get ready to eat some crow.
Why are you looking so pissed off? You lost?
We lost.
Yeah? Won. Well, there you go.
We our grass and we let it go, Chef.
You got every right to be pissed off. Your performance was Now get back upstairs to the dorm and I'll get Jean-Philippe to call you when he's ready. Move. Let's go.
Yes, Chef. Yes.
We got to regroup. We got to get it together. And I have made it my business to come in, you know, to take on that position of leadership.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't like losing. Come on, Danny. I was over there helping with you. Then I jumped over and had to help with the eggs.
You should have been on eggs the whole time.
You were the one drowning on the pancakes, my friend.
That is correct.
Look, you gave me a hand walking the pancakes up, and thank you for that.
Wait a minute, Danny. Come on, man. Are you serious right now?
What? You helped me plate some pancakes, and I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm not...
It's cool, man. Don't worry about it.
I'm not a hero here. I never said I was.
You said that earlier. You said you're the best cook.
Who's the strongest on the blue team?
I believe I'm the strongest, Chef. I am obviously the best cook on the team.
You want to hear something, dude? I will circle you like a moon.
Where have you been?
Are you joking me?
What?
You couldn't cook my...
Why would you want to?
Where have you been?
I am so...
Be quiet,
Let me see you on garnet.
Shut the...
Honey, you know what? I need 2 minutes.
Take your 2 minutes, bro, because I haven't seen you in the kitchen yet.
This is eight.
Where have you been?
I'm by no means a physical guy, but if we were outside of Hell's Kitchen, sure.
You're from Brooklyn.
That was
Ben
the best
got
part
a
right there,
stick
bro.
Up his about me, which is fine. You know, because I'm a cocky and I run my mouth. You know, don't get all uppity on me, bro, until you
uppity.
Now, first of all, they show Ben go outside. He picks up a chair, and he doesn't do it violently. He picks up a chair, it cuts away, and the camera shakes like there's an earthquake, and you hear crash. And they never show what he did with the chair, like he smashed it.
They've got amazing Foley artists on this show.
You know that the guy picked it up and he moved the chair over into the grass.
He picked it up, he thought twice about slamming it down, and he set it down.
I don't even think that. I think he went to go lounge in the sun or something. But
yeah, exactly. He picked it up and moved it into an area that was sunny so that he could lounge while they took a break.
And instead, they make it where he smashes a chair. And, of course, they never... If this is a reality show like this, would want footage of that, wouldn't they? But they never show it. Remember that
time? They create it.
You remember that one time when one guy, I don't know if it was last season or the season before, whacked somebody in the head carrying a chair? They showed it multiple times, like whack, 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 like showed it again, whack. You know, if he would have smashed a chair, they showed it like 10 times, gone to a commercial break, come back.
That's money, man. That's their money shot.
They didn't show it at all. He didn't smash a chair. It's all made up. It never even happened. It's completely ridiculous.
Our show is made up.
Now, the best part is the men, because they lost, they had to make they had to do the prep for the women, because the women were out lounging by the pool in bikinis and stuff, too. Mm-hmm. And I was really disappointed we didn't get to see Lacey in a bikini, weren't you?
Or L.A. I was very sad that we didn't.
Oh, God. That chick, L.A.
I see her, and my dick shrivels.
She's really scary. That's all I got to say.
It's a reverse erection. It actually goes back.
It's reverse.
She is so vile.
she's
that lip thing and the oh. Ooh.
But I gotta say, Andrea, the one who the whiny spaz, she's in a bikini. It's like, you know, not looking bad, man, for being a whiny bitch. Because she's always crying. And remember last week, she was throwing up or fake vomiting. Oh, you know, it wasn't even real. But get her in a bikini, and it's all passable.
Yeah, why not?
But, okay, the women come back, and they realize that the guys haven't prepped anything. They haven't prepared. Ben hasn't prepared the tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce.
And I got to just tell you, how many times is butter sauce or tomato butter sauce said in this clip? Let's check it out. It's ridiculous.
Ben, what are we missing that I can get on?
He's getting ready for the Caesar. I need to get it spun and clean.
I got potato salad working.
We don't have poached eggs yet, right?
Negative, right.
Prep was their punishment, and they couldn't finish it. We have to do a lot of pepper sauce.
Chef Gloria, we're still missing tomato sauce from gentlemen. Hey, guys, where's the tomato butter sauce for the ladies?
Tomato butter sauce.
One. Tomato butter sauce.
Two.
Ben, you've got that, right? Tomato butter sauce.
Three.
No, I have not done that yet, but I will do it. I'll start in a moment.
Maybe we have to pull this out.
Guys, I need tomato butter sauce. Four. I never got my tomato butter sauce.
What are you doing in here?
I need tomato butter sauce, Chef.
Where's the tomato butter sauce for the salmon? Where's the sauce?
Who's got the sauce for tomato butter? Talk, hey. People.
It's right
talk.
Here, and I will finish it.
Is it ready?
No, it's not, Chef.
I was pissed off when we didn't have our tomato butter sauce ready to go.
Is this part of the sabotage?
What is it again?
No, Chef. Of course not, Chef.
I completely dropped the ball. We were in the entire day, and there was just dropped so much that needed to be done.
Yeah. Why is the sauce all ready?
He saw L.A. and I'll take care of it right away.
What a muffet. What are you doing over here now?
Wonka.
I finished it.
What have you done to sabotage them?
Nothing. Put salt it down. And pepper, Chef. Salt and pepper,
it's
Chef.
It's sabotage, not sabotage.
Hey, come here, Andrea. Taste that. What does that taste of, Andrea?
It tastes like with salt, Chef.
Yeah, it tastes
doesn't taste like tomato butter sauce.
Oh, hurry up, you.
I took a gamble. I didn't taste it before I put out. My fault.
Hey, as long as you're over there and I'm cooking, you mind getting some more tomato butter sauce going?
Done deal. I don't give a what I'm cooking or what I'm doing. I will get it out.
Meanwhile, Danny is prepared to deliver his attempt at the women's butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce, guys.
Well, that's much better.
Thank you, Chef.
Hey, that sauce now, tomato sauce, much better. The one you sent over there was disgusting.
Yes, Chef.
Chef Ramsay really liked it, so that's cool. I just seem to rock everything I touch.
Yeah, that one there is 1,000 times better.
Yes, Chef.
So he got the tomato butter sauce out.
12 times. He rocked that shit, yo.
No, you didn't count when they said sauce.
Not
too.
Just the sauce. Yeah, I didn't.
You
should have
counted
the
that.
Sauce.
Now, just in case, I made a clip of just every single time. Let's check this out.
Tomato sauce. Tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce. I never got my tomato butter sauce. I need tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce. Where's the sauce? Who's got the sauce for tomato butter?
Tomato butter sauce.
Why is the sauce not ready?
Tomato
now.
Butter sauce, Chef. I just finished it.
Can you mind getting some more tomato butter sauce going?
Butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce.
Tomato sauce. Much better.
I love that guy. Butter sauce.
What the hell, man? The butter sauce. I was like, man, I want to eat some of that shit. I'm hungry.
I'm hungry now. I wish that's some delicious butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce. But anyway, Seth went home. I was really disappointed because I wanted to see him screw things up. Like when he had that little sweat rag. He's wiping it. And it had grease and shit all over it. And then he starts wiping the counter off with it.
He was wiping the cooktop. Yeah. Which you put shit on.
Oh, God. That guy. And I was telling Bill, his body is shaped weird. He looks like he's like a grown man with a baby body.
He looks like a mongoloid.
He's got a giant baby body because he's got that giant head on top of a little baby.
He's got that huge neck, and he just
oh,
looks like...
Oh, he's a bobblehead is what he is.
You know, I just say, you know...
He does. He looks like a bobblehead.
The baby on Waterboy that... What's his name? Henry Winkler imagines.
Right.
At the end. He's got that head.
Exactly. He's got that giant bobblehead. And have you noticed this? Every week when they show somebody leaving and they take off their little thing and they're just in a t-shirt, everyone, they do the most humiliating looking horrible shot in silhouette of them walking away. They look real dumpy, like, ooh, walking away.
You know, that dramatic moving?
It's just like they make them look as gangly and weird looking as possible. But, yeah, great.
I love how they walk toward the light. Like they're dying. It's death. They're going to heaven. From Hell's Kitchen to heaven.
Moon.
Yeah, what is that? I will circle you like a moon.
Well, I like the comment.
Yeah. I'm going to get astronomical on your ass.
I guess we'll just see when I open my own restaurant in New York.
Yeah, it's like, right. I'll be competing with you, Gordon Ramsay. He's like, yeah, okay, he's real scared.
You couldn't cook my the other 50,000 restaurants in New York.
I don't understand the you couldn't cook my bleep either.
Did he say you couldn't cook my shit?
I figured he said you couldn't cook my cock is what I was thinking.
You couldn't cook my
I mean, that's what I assume. It may not be that. He might have said, you couldn't cook my sandwich.
You know what? He probably said sauce.
You couldn't.
And they bleeped it to make it sound dirty. You know, like you were saying they've done before. They've bleeped stuff just to make it sound dirty.
Oh, you know what he said?
You couldn't cook my sauce.
You couldn't cook my tomato butter sauce. That's what he said.
Tomato butter sauce.
I need tomato butter sauce. Ladies, would you like some of my butter sauce? It's like, all right, announcer guy.
I've got some butter sauce. It's high in protein.
All right, let's talk about the Top Chef finale, shall we? The cool part of it is they brought back contestants from previous seasons, runner-ups. Like, they brought Richard back, which I thought was pretty cool. His hair is still a little odd, but he's...
I think he sticks his head in a toilet and flushes it.
He just hangs his head upside down and goes... blow dries it and sticks some dippity doo in there or something.
Anybody that puts that much effort into their hair might be slightly gay.
He's just very into his locks. But
I'm not saying he is gay. I'm just saying that, you
right.
know,
hey,
he's got gay intentions or something.
Gay intentions.
Inflections.
Gay,
You couldn't cook my...
Whoa, I don't know what that guy's talking about. Oh, wait, I know what he's talking about.
Big blowdown.
Yes. Okay, so it's Carla, Hosea, and Stefan.
Stefan.
And they're supposed to cook their best meal ever. Right?
Three courses.
And that's cool, and they
dessert
get helpers.
Is not necessary.
I thought it was funny that Stefan said, Hosea, you get the pick, and he picked Richard or whatever. You know, is that what, am I thinking this right?
No, they had to draw knives, didn't they?
Yeah, they drew knives.
Oh, and he said, you go next. He decided, Jose, you go next, or whatever. But then they had the thing with the appetizer, and he gave Stefan the alligator, right?
Yeah.
Or is it a crocodile?
Alligator.
And I thought that looked weird. When he cuts the tail off, Stefan does, and you see the inside, I thought that was all weird looking, man.
It's got different chambers of muscle, yeah.
Emma was watching it with me, and she goes, is that the alligator's butt? And I said, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised that he went for the tail. I mean, yeah, the tail's probably the most meaty part, but I guess for what he did, you know, being a soup.
I would have gotten a French bread, cut it in half, chopped off the head, and stuck it in between the two pieces of bread. Oh. Alligator head sandwich. I didn't de-tooth it, so you people be careful.
It's the only sandwich in a bite bag.
You can pick your teeth with it. But yeah, so I thought all that stuff was really cool. They all kicked ass on the appetizer, and I was kind of rooting for Carla here because Hosea and Stefan had started getting on my nerves the last couple of weeks too. And
yeah.
Carla less, and I thought she was really talented. And unfortunately, she kind of
let the other girl influence her.
Yeah,
yeah,
she's
a bunny.
She screwed up, and the souffle thing got messed up. And that's when she goes out there. She goes, unfortunately, my souffle it didn't take. So, and they do that kind of sound, you know, like Hell's Kitchen.
What was your original intention? A tart.
Yeah.
Not a souffle. Huh?
And you know that she's just screwed at that point. When she sees it bubbling in there, it's like, oh, she's screwed. But let's go ahead and check out this clip, all right? Clip will do the work for us, Steve. I don't know why we're even talking.
For your final challenge, it's a pretty simple one. Cook us the best three-course meal of your life. Of course, we arrange for some help.
Who are these people?
Oh.
Richard, Casey, and Marcel from seasons past. They were in the final three. There's plenty of people out there that thought these three easily should have won.
So now it's time to draw nines. This will determine in what order you choose your sous chefs.
Three.
One.
Hosea.
I'll take Richard. Be a huge honor to have you on my team.
Stefan.
I have to give Marcel another shot.
And Carla, I suppose it's an all-girl team for you.
I want it, you, Casey.
Oh! Morning, chefs.
Morning. Morning.
Yesterday we told you that all you had to do was make the best three-course meal of your life. We're going to add one more course.
They don't need to do this season where they
you
keep
have to make
tricking
an appetizer
stuff up
for a tray pass before we sit down for dinner.
You know, this show doesn't have
crab,
nearly enough music in it.
And one with alligator.
They need
third
a louder...
Cake. There's a little baby just like this. Whomever gets the baby, that chef will not only get to choose their protein first, but they'll also determine which other proteins the other chefs are cooking with. There it goes. There it is.
Oh.
There's the baby.
I'll take the redfish. Carla's cooking crabs. Stefan's taking alligator.
Stefan, how about that?
If he's going to take the title, he's going to have to really work for it.
Jose, good lucky. Lucky son of a bitch you are.
Good luck. Get going.
As I walk past Carla's station, I notice that they're doing some sous vide bags, which is not something I've ever seen Carla do before.
To me, it's so completely dated in presentation.
This is my problem with sous vide cooking. It loses any kind of spontaneity of actually cooking that meat.
The lady can make a sauce. I think it's a lovely, lovely sauce.
But this doesn't remind me of her.
Hosea's dish, I can't stop eating it.
Carla, you were really strong along the way. Stefan, you had some amazing highs, but you also had a few lows. Hosea,
they're really proud of that.
Put together a nice meal.
Music.
Very, very.
Oh yeah, they would play that through the entire show if they could.
Congratulations, Hosea. You are top chef.
It was almost a golf clap. It's like I sat through the whole season. This
I think
guy.
Everybody was so shocked.
You know, the thing is, when you think about they judge per meal, that's good, but it seems like they kind of flounder on that a little, because if they really went by that, Stefan wouldn't even made it to the finale, I think. But then he makes it to the finale, and he does well, and his main problem, he would have won, and they were disappointed that they couldn't make him top chef because of his crappy dessert, don't you think?
Right.
It was so plain Jane, they're like, we can't give it to him because of this shitty dessert he made. And except for Toby, who was like, oh, no, he made a full meal. He made three courses. It should end with the dessert, you know. And it was because he's European, right? And that's why they went into Euro to win.
European.
Remember, that's what the thing was. There was like the Euros got to win or whatever. Because Fabio is like, you know, I hate to say it, but this is a pretty boring dessert. Hey, he sounds like Nico Bellic, doesn't he?
That's Nico Bellic's Italian.
I'd chop his balls off and make a sandwich or something. It's like, holy shit. But
speaking of private parts, man, Gail Simmons' breasts. Hello.
Dude, there's a whole part where she's on screen, and I swear, I just lost like 10 minutes of the show because I was just staring at her breasts. Like, because you can't take your eyes off them. It's like, what just happened? I need to rewind it. And then you're looking at them again. They're like, wait a second. It's like when you read a book and you can't concentrate. It's like, let me rewind it again. But I'm going to look over in the corner of the room and just listen.
Those things are magnificent.
Because even Heather was like, has her breasts grown? She must be pregnant or something. It's like, why are you ruining it? Just stop.
No, she's not pregnant. Her breasts have always been that big. I remember last year's season finale, she had a dress on while they were in Puerto Rico that were showing those suckers off. And I was just mesmerized. That whoever married her is a lucky, lucky man.
So wouldn't you say that Stefan lost because he screwed up in a way? I think Carla... See, here's what I thought was going to happen. I thought that Carla would win it because Stefan and Hosea were concentrating too much on each other and outdoing each other, and they would screw up. And that's the thing about the show is I got to say that the finale – this is the second season I watched. The finale sucks.
For it to be a finale, it's not
It doesn't live up to the whole finale potential. They're trying to come up with better ideas, but it's just falling flat.
Right, and they don't need to trick it up with the appetizer, although that was kind of neat, I guess, that they all nailed it or whatever, but whatever. I mean, I love Top Chef, and I can't wait for it next season, but they don't need to do the tricking up thing, like letting somebody come back or anything like that. It shouldn't be a show like that. Don't you agree? Like, just make it a straightforward show the way it is. And next week we get the finale type talk or whatever, you know, where they get them all together and they talk about their season. And they have that douchebag from Bravo.
From Bravo.
He's like, so Jose, how'd you feel about making out with Leo?
How was that?
How was it,
Jose,
when you made out with
Leo?
Only on
Bravo.
But seriously, I got nothing now. Do you guys have anything?
No.
Big blowdown.
Exactly. I got a big blowdown.
I will circle you like a moon.
I don't know what that means.
Good evening, sir. My name is Steve. I come from a rough area.
I love that guy. He's a genius.
We're exchanging links to pictures of Gail Simmons' breasts in the chat room.
Nice.
I used to be a digital crab, and now I'm off and trying to stay clean.
Oh, good for you.
Is that Carla?
Yeah, it is. Now, what do you say, Bill? We take a break, and we come right back, and we talk about Doll Hizzle, Heroes, 24, Lost, and the Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
All right, guys, be right back. I swear.
I will circle you like a moon.
I love watching scary movies while cuddled up with my delicious chocolate cereal, Count Chocula.
Switch to something better, you chocoloon. My delicious strawberry-flavored Frankenberry.
Tune in, Frank. Count Chocula has chocolate marshmallows.
Wrong channel, Chalk. Frankenberry has delicious strawberry-flavored marshmallows.
Kids love Count Chocula.
Kids love Frankenberry.
And I love their commercials.
You can enjoy this nutritious breakfast with Frankenberry.
Count Chocula.
It's Energized Spider-Man with Spider-Sense. Battery not included. Turn the Spider-Sense activator. Red Dragon appears to go into action. Attach the web climber, flip the switch, and he climbs automatically. Energize Spider-Man. The motorized web, it pulls, it lifts. The spider light to climb at night. The spider copter sold separately with Spider-Sense panel. The power pack turns on the copter.
We'll have to get the Red Dragon.
Energize Spider-Man with Spider-Sense comes with communicator spider copter sold separately from Remco.
McDonald's.
For you parents who don't speak Klingonese, he's saying, people of Earth, unite and bring your kids to McDonald's for a Star Trek meal. That's a regular hamburger, fries, soft drink, a McDonald's and cookie sampler, and a Star Trek prize. Oh, yes, five different boxes based on Star Trek the motion picture. Action scenes, jokes, games. He says, take it from a father who knows. His kids love them. McDonald's Star Trek meal available for your kids now.
Space Control calling Quisp.
This is Quisp. Over.
An enormous mad ball of yarn is blocking all traffic in space.
Uh-oh. So it is.
Turn back.
Impossible. I must deliver this cargo of Quisp cereal to my pals on... What?
It's got him.
A naughty problem. Fortunately, there's always time for a bowl of Quisp cereal.
Use your Scrooge gun.
Nope. I'm using these knitting needles instead. Knit one, purl two, knit one, purl two, cast off! Knit one, purl two, cast off, knit one, purl two!
What blinding speed! He's knitting up that mad ball of yarn faster than it can unravel. There it goes!
And in its place, a hand-knit necktie, 87 miles long.
Yay! A good yarn, but Quake is better.
Oh! Quisp is best. Get the point.
Quisp from Quaker.
Kenner presents new alien action figure.
Demon explode! Quick, shut the airlock! The alien's locked out now!
He got through! Give up! Alien can't be beat!
We'll zap him with the light!
Don, he'll destroy the spaceship!
We've lost! Gotta find another ship!
Let's try the kitchen!
Another triumph for alien!
Alien action figure. New from Kenner.
Ahoy!
Ahoy, mate. We've been 3 months at sea.
We sure missed your fishing, Chicken.
What's the news at Long John Silver's?
Boys, here's the news. Long John Silver's is giving away a reusable plastic pirate cup free when you buy a 16-ounce cup of Coca-Cola. You can get a different cup each week with a member of the crew on each. 4 cups in all.
Now that's worth sailing in for.
At Long John Silver's.
Pink out the flakes are pink. As sweet as you pink out, they are pink. Tickles me pink. Pink out the flakes are pink. As sweet as you pink out, the color of pink. Tickles me pink.
Hey, Pink Panther, we love Pink Panther. Flakes are pink and sweet and they're new. We love their 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of vitamins just as much as we love you.
From Post.
Star Wars. You and your children loved it. Now, the Earthlings at Kenner have asked my associate and me to present the Star Wars collection. Truly remarkable toys and games for your children. What's he so excited about now? My goodness, the Star Wars TIE Fighter and X-Wing Fighter. Now your children can relive our great space battles or collect our wonderful Star Wars companions, the Kenner Star Wars action figures. R2, it's a little new. Kenner's new radio-controlled R2-D2 anyone can command. Ah, the Star Wars land. Moves like it's floating. And here's Kenner's Death Star space station, 4 floors of action, a trash compactor too. Listen, R2, that's the Star Wars electronic laser battle, a game of speed, reflex, and reaction. These and other toys and games in Kenner's Star Wars collection are sold separately. Batteries are not included. May the Force be with you and your children.
Burger King presents 4 bright, colorful Star Wars glasses.
Hey, it's Luke Skywalker.
And the princess.
Gee, wow!
Get your kids a different Star Wars glass each week. Buy a regular serving of Coke for 59 cents plus tax. Get Chewbacca, get Darth Vader, R2-D2, and C-3PO.
What mission? What are you talking about?
We can get all 4.
Star Wars glasses at Burger King until February 2nd.
Me, Mr. Winter, is freezing our summer.
I sweeten him up with Super Sugar. Super Sugar Crisp is coated with Super Sugar to make it taste so sweet.
Oh, he did eat. I'm sweet as springtime.
Toast Super Sugar Crisp cereal, part of a balanced breakfast.
It's the Star Trek Tricorder, complete with a Star Trek cassette adventure, an authentic replica of the Star Trek Tricorder carried by Dr. Bones McCoy and Mr. Spock. It has a built-in microphone and mini readout screen, and includes a carry strap so you can take it anywhere.
I got the tape from Johnny. Get the Tricorder. Let's play.
The Star Trek Tricorder is a full-function cassette tape player and comes complete with pre-recorded Star Trek adventure. Check the mini readout window.
Patrolling outpost.
Listen to the voices of your favorite Star Trek heroes, or turn the cassette over and press the record button, and you can tape your own adventures.
The USS Enterprise is moving to investigate.
The Star Trek Tricorder with built-in microphone and mini readout screen. New Solid State Electronics from Mega.
Tomato butter sauce. Where's the sauce? Who's got the sauce? Tomato butter sauce. Tomato butter sauce. Where's the sauce already? Tomato butter sauce, chef.
I just finished it.
Can you mind getting some more tomato butter sauce going?
Butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce, guys.
That sauce now. Tomato sauce. Much better.
Yes, I just had some during the break. It was delicious.
Butter sauce.
Body massage.
Yeah.
Butter sauce.
Now, who wants some butter sauce?
Now, let's talk about Dollhouse. Because last week, the middleman was on Dollhouse. And apparently, this guy went to Dollhouse and wanted a chick to have a great date with. Because he said he's been on a lot of dates and the women never measure up to what he thinks is an ideal woman. So he goes on this perfect date with Echo, played by Eliza Dushku, and they go roaring rapids, river rafting, whatever. They climb they climb mountains and all that shit, and everything's fun. Then they have
Shoot bows at elk.
Yeah, and then they have some sex, and it's great. Great sex in a tent on the mountainside. Everything's fantastic.
Tent sex is always best.
And, except the guy, the middleman, is like, if I were you, I'd start running, because I'm in a hoe. I'm going to hunt your ass with a bow and arrow and kill you if you don't start running. She's like, what? Oh, you're joking, right?
And he's like, I love that he did it after he nailed her.
Yeah. And so she's like, oh, my God, and starts running. And I thought that whole premise was so ridiculous. What? She's got to start running, and he's hunting her? Because his dad...
I'm waiting to see John C. McGinley pop up somewhere.
Yeah, or freaking Ice Cube or something. Ice-T and dreadlocks or something. But, okay, the guy likes to hunt women to the death with a bow and arrow. Okay, I understand that.
Hey, who doesn't, really?
But it turns out that weird alpha guy, the secret dollhouse guy, who they kind of do flashbacks on when he escaped and he's retained some knowledge from his previous incarnations or whatever, and he can cut you like a doctor, Steven, cut you in those main arteries. Mm-hmm. I think you'd only have to hit one. You don't have to hit multiples, but it doesn't matter.
He's Stillman.
He's very intricate, okay? Now, her handler is there, and he's in the bushes in a van, just kind of keeping our...
He's in the bushes in a van, down by the river.
Yeah, down by the river! And he's like, and we were talking about the tech talk, like, he's like, hey, this monitor's breaking up. And the guy's
Can you reset my satellite signal something? It's just so bad.
Techno jargon or whatever. But then a cop shows up, and they're like, him and the driver have this whole routine, like, hey, we've gotten lost here, and we're just looking at this map or whatever. And the guy's like... And shoots the one guy with a silencer. It's like, what the hell? This cop, he's got a trigger.
Always need a silencer in the middle of the woods.
But there's
because people can hear your gunshots.
Oh, definitely. You don't want any elk hearing that.
No, they might run off.
But why don't hunters hunt with silencers? You know? I guess the bullet hits them before the gun goes off.
Pretty smart.
But I guess they're illegal or whatever, but everyone has one on TV. But, okay, you remember that scene a long time ago on Smallville when Green Arrow, it was like his first ever scene, and...
Oh, yes.
He's like, the guy was like, Mr. Queen, it was very dangerous, and he said this.
I thought I made myself clear. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
Well, we were like, God, what a horrible actor. And in fact, the other guy in the scene was a worse actor than Oliver Queen, but... This scene right here, her handler, the black guy, who's the only likable character on the show, I think. He seems pretty cool. He's got the bad guy, cop, tied down because he just got in a van fight with him. You know,
and those can be very dangerous because there's not a whole lot of room to...
And he's got him tied down. And I thought the guy did a great job overacting with his voice. But maybe you would sound like this if you were being tortured to tell. But let's go ahead and check out the scene. It's very compelling.
How many?
What?
How many men between me and the girl?
I don't know. I don't know, I swear to God.
I don't think he's listening.
A guy hired me over the phone. I never met him. I was just supposed to get you to stall the response team.
And then is that bullet in my tie?
Hey, it's business. Don't take it personal, dude.
Awesome. He sounds like he's doing voice acting for an anime or something, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Super ultra fantastic fun time.
Don't take it personal, dude.
But, yeah. Okay, so anyway, Echo, she starts having memories or something of herself or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, she's fighting the middleman, eventually kicks his ass and stabs him in the neck with an arrow, right?
Yep.
And the whole thing was a setup, I think, that this alpha guy did this to test her. He hired the middleman to rent her and do this date and then hunt her with a bow and arrow or something. And she's kind of retaining memories too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, okay, there's been two episodes. Okay, I'm going to watch it again tonight. Tonight looks even more ridiculous. Where she's like the backup singer to some pop star. Okay, I'm just going to say this show is Smallville bad, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad.
It's pretty cheesy. And Eliza Dushku's fun to look at and all that. And I will watch again, but it's no Firefly, that's for damn sure.
She is really a god-awful actress.
Yeah, she's...
And why choose somebody like her to play different people every week?
I don't know.
It's just so...
I think it's just because she's so damn cute or something. I don't know.
Me.
But the Hilo scene... Hilo is investigating Dollhouse, Steven. It doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Basically, he's the reporter from The Incredible Hulk, I'm thinking. You know, he's like... He's always
Mr.
hunting.
McGee.
Yeah, he's
and
Mr.
Everybody
McGee.
Everybody thinks he's crazy because he's the only one that believes that the dollhouse exists.
Yeah, the dollhouse exists. Hey, did you find your dollhouse there, Hilo? And he's like, all right, guys, it's not funny. No, what's the matter, Hilo?
Ooh, got no dolls to play with?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's a great written scene there. And why do they keep calling him Hilo? Is he still on a different show? You know?
He'll always be Hilo.
I love that. Dude, you're just Hilo on the show. What? Why? I'm just like, dude,
You're Agent Hilo. Get used to it.
Okay, I'll be Hilo. But
I was Hilo on Battlestar.
There's just some painful scenes. Do you remember the part where he's going home and his next-door neighbor who thinks he's dreamy? She's like, I made a lasagna and I had some extra leftovers.
She's like, well, usually leftovers, you have some already eaten.
Yes, the genius of Joss Whedon.
And she's like, who's that girl? She's pretty, that photograph. He's like, she disappeared. She has no identity, but I'll never rest until I find her. And she's like, lucky girl. It's like, did you not hear what he just said?
Yeah.
She has no identity. She's probably been kidnapped or something. She's probably dead, but lucky girl.
And he comes across as like a creepy stalker.
Yeah, I'll find her.
I'm so lucky to be stalked by
you. This is the first photo I'm going to pin on my wall. In about a year, I'm going to have about 5,000 of the same girl. Oh, lucky girl.
I'm gonna have a toe necklace.
But okay, Dollhouse, not a great show, but neither is Heroes. We talk about that every week.
It's cheesy fun.
And I just gotta say this,
except
about
Heroes isn't.
I gotta say this,
yeah,
about
Heroes is painful.
You know, there's times Heroes in the past I could sit through it and it's like, hey, this is watchable garbage, okay? This week was so painstakingly awful, just like it was a labor to sit through. I actually didn't watch this in one sitting. I watched it like in three different sittings.
I was
that's how
computer.
It was meant to be watched in chapters.
I was on the computer and watched.
It was so goddamn horrible. First of all, there was no mystery revealed in this episode.
So I love that they build it up like you're gonna find out if he's good or bad. Guess what? He's neither.
First of all, okay, the characters in the show don't know, but we do. We've known who's running, who the hunter is, since the first episode. So have it slowly unveiled of who is in charge for them is not compelling at all to the viewer, is it?
No.
Yeah, I love that they think that's compelling.
And I love the part, there's a part where Parkman's like, I just found it out. Your brother, he came up with this idea. And Peter's like, yeah, I know. It's like, what the hell? You know,
I could have told you that.
What's the point of this?
Two episodes ago.
Okay, I'm going to sum this episode up. Parkman and Mohinder fighting the whole time. That was the episode, wasn't it? Let's go ahead and check this out.
Pretty much.
And I apologize in advance.
So I'm going to be able to get to these memories that we're looking for. I'm going to find out exactly how this whole thing happened, who's behind it, and how they work.
All right, you do that, Matt. Just shut up and do it, okay?
Fighting back. And how far are you willing to push?
Until he has brain damage.
As I need to.
Ooh.
It's like that.
You can't rush an interrogation.
This isn't an interrogation. It's torture. You're straining his entire system.
His endocrine system is shutting down.
On purpose.
Only if my father was here.
Yeah. You know what the hell you're talking about.
Endocrine system research.
This isn't about Daphne. This is about me helping everybody.
Well, you're not helping him.
He has done much worse to me.
You're hurting him.
Make him a sandwich or something. He's starving.
He's in pain. Does he have to be?
Look, the drugs are... It's not going to be comfortable. I'm digging through his brain
to find a memory.
Can you believe the writers gave us this shit
really
to say?
This? I mean, who knows what information has been painted by time?
These guys read it. I'm not saying my father.
We know nothing. He knows everything that we
need
to know.
These people get paid to write the shit down for us to say on the air.
Planned it all. Nathan.
Nathan planned it all.
They did it together. Do you hear what I just said? Your brother is to blame for all of it.
Yeah, I know.
So?
So what?
Welcome to 5 episodes ago, dipshit.
What are we going to do? Nothing?
I didn't even watch
anything. We can't do anything from memories, can we?
Never done this before. It's not an exact science.
It's not science at all, man.
You want to go? Just go.
It's
just
I know science. My father knows science.
It's mumbo jumbo.
To be hunted after all that you've done.
You're reading my mind?
I don't have to read your mind. You're an open book. Look, you want to get caught? Turn yourself in, but we're not
running
your back.
That was an insult.
I can say the same thing about you. I told you this is not about Daphne.
I could circle you like a moon.
We're supposed to be on the same side.
You don't think what I'm getting here is real?
Huh?
He came to you.
I'm going to pick up this chair and put it down in the sunlight.
Don't put
you knew about this.
You didn't tell him?
Matt, let me explain.
Why didn't you tell him?
I wasn't talking to anybody. I thought it was the safest thing. That's why you didn't want me in his head. You didn't care about his health. You were afraid of what I'd find. No. Yes, he approached
you. You really
me,
putting the
I
pieces
no.
together, aren't you?
They're told him
genius.
About this. Why did you tell me?
Holy shit! That poor hotel room! That balsa wood dresser will never be the same!
What did I dust? Tied up with a plane, too! You think I don't regret any of this?
You're my friend! You could have warned me! You could have warned all of us!
I didn't know what to do!
Friend.
I didn't
emoting!
What? Told you that I could have stopped all of this? That I could have maybe prevented Daphne's death? If I had, I'd probably be the one tied up in that chair.
Kinky.
I can't believe you let my choppy-haired, big-breasted, fast girlfriend die.
Don't take it personal, dude.
Yeah.
Worst episode ever of Heroes.
God, it's so bad. And I loved how we were talking about this earlier, and they did the same thing in Dollhouse. For some reason, television directors think we're really stupid, and they have to do back like flashbacks either in like a muted color or no color or high contrast.
Right.
They did the same thing in Dollhouse. They did it in this with the black and white flashbacks.
Well, see, the, you know what? The Heroes was trying to do their best episode called Company Man over again, and they failed miserably.
Mm-hmm.
They fell. They dropped the ball because everything revealed, everything that stupid Matt Parkman and bumbling Mohinder and Peter need to know.
They already knew.
You could already assume it if you were there.
Yeah.
That Nathan thought of it, and he has another guy working for him that Peter goes to kill him and then ends up not doing it because it would only he would win if you shot him. Oh, okay.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's the end of Seven.
Yeah, become
What's
wrath,
in the
Peter.
Box? What's in the box?
Yeah, the guy's like, Peter, become wrath, kill me. He's like, oh, Claire's head's in a box. I would have been like, yes, best episode ever.
Thank God.
But I love at the end when Peter saves Parkman by dropping that grenade. Wouldn't it hit Parkman too, or whatever, the flash grenade? But anyway. HRG sits down next to the mom, who they can't cut her out of the show. She's got to be involved for some reason. And what he reveals is that he's got a gray side. He doesn't mind. It's just like, what? It's nothing's compelling here. Nothing's anything we couldn't have already figured out on our own. There was no reason to even have this episode.
They just need to, like, just pretend like Heroes never happened and just start it over again.
Don't forget about this, that Mohinder gets captured, right? Which was a hilarious escape, by the way. He throws the dude and he gets shot about 50 times with his darts. But he gets put in a cage, and what does Nathan say? He goes, basically, here's what he says. I want you to come up with a serum to remove powers. It's like, are you going to have him doing, working in a lab, come up with a goddamn serum again? How many friggin' seasons?
Can you just engineer the last serum?
Yeah. How many friggin' serums is this dude going to be stuck in a lab against his will making? It's ridiculous. And then they show, oh my god, Daphne's still alive, Steven. Could you believe it?
And they had to use all their resources to keep her down because she's so strong.
Yeah, she's so fast.
And I like her acting there was like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
That was Emmy worthy.
It's so GD awful, am I right? I
mean, yeah, it's bad.
So what?
I don't even think that Brian Fuller in the episodes he takes over and can fix how bad this show's become. And it's losing ratings left and right. It just, every week, ratings are worse.
I've stuck with it through the bad episodes, and it's just like, it's still entertaining me. This was so bad, though. It really was. It was that bad.
There was no point to it. This episode at all.
It was nothing like 24 is, which is nothing but compelling this season. Because 24 has awesome car chases. First of all, remember they're chasing after the girlfriend, right? Who is going to meet E.K. Dubaku. How awesome was that scene where she pulls the wheel, Bill, and the car just goes flying through the air? She's like, holy shit!
There's been like one of those stunt catapults on the bottom of that car.
They never would have done
just
that on
the
Heroes.
Hell of it.
That was awesome. And unfortunately she died, which is very sad. And
yeah, that was really too bad. I guess she broke her neck but I loved
she
how
had her
on. The redhead FBI agent thought, well, I'll just administer CPR anyways.
Even our ribs are all atomized, you know, it's a powder. But I love Jack finds a microchip in Dubaku's rib cage or whatever.
Oh, God. He's like, oh, this is a PVX4 super duper
but
secure.
Those guys are like, we had to get him in the hospital. He goes, cut him open with an X-Acto. And he's like, sir. And he's like, do it. And the guy's like, all right. And he cuts it out. He's like, oh, cool. And the part where Jack goes, I thought something was going to happen. He goes to the helicopter pilot, here, take this to the FBI. It's very important. You deliver it in so-and-so's hands. It's like, that's going to get captured or taken away somehow. But luckily it got there. It got to the FBI. So Chloe was there. She was going to download this secret chip.
Unencrypted.
And it was going to tell them everybody that was on the payroll of E.K. Dubaku. Well, Billy Walsh, the director of Medellin. He's working for Dubaku.
Queens Boulevard.
He's a bad guy, right? So he's like, oh my god, what are we going to do? He's going to get his hacker mistress type computer expert to do something to cause it to erase or whatever. And 24 is the best computer jargon on TV besides Smallville, wouldn't you say? Ghost routers.
Yeah.
Ghost routers with Smallville, right?
This particular scene was just so ridiculous.
I love computer talk on 24 is completely ridiculous. And if you ever notice any computer screen on 24, it's just got all this shit going on. It's like nothing. Yeah, it's all gibberish. But let's check
this
out.
And I love how they were acting like they had no idea what this memory card was. And it was obvious that it was a Sony memory stick. It's just like, I've never seen this before. What is it?
What does it say? Sony.
Memory stick duo. I have no idea what that is.
This poor girl, Billy Walsh, is just, he seduced her to get her to do his bidding. And poor girl, let's check this out.
He's so sweet.
What is it? What's wrong?
Just listen to me and try not to overreact, okay? We have a situation, but I think I have a way to handle it.
What situation? You told me you had everything under control.
I do.
Wow, that was excellent line reading.
What? Sean, our names are on that list. You told me that you were taking care of this, and now you're telling me that they have our names?
No, we don't have our names yet, okay? So here's the plan.
No, Sean, we have to get out of here. We have to get out of here right now. I'm not going to jail, Sean. Do you hear me?
I'm going to jail, I promise.
Don't stick to your promises. You promised me that this is all taken care of. You promised me you're leaving your wife. You make all these promises, but you never keep...
Stop talking and just listen to me. Now, I told you I have a way out of this, but I need your help. Do you understand that? Now, listen. As soon as O'Brien downloads those files, we're going to crash the entire system, every single server on this floor.
That's crazy.
No, that's genius crazy.
Go to the mainframe room.
Crazy.
So it's just my work. Yeah.
Everything clean and they won't be able to
stop. It's elegant in its simplicity.
A lot of safety protocols. Okay? But nobody's better at dealing with those servers than you are. And isn't that true?
I love that flattery gets him what he wants. You're the best.
Erica?
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna have to tie the main servers together. I need an AVI motherboard, but you're gonna have to reconfigure it for a macro uplink.
Okay, we have to hurry. The drive is gonna be here any minute.
Oh, macro uplink, got it. Check.
How long is this gonna take?
I just have to bypass safety protocols. Once they're down, I'll start the reformat.
Got it.
It isn't working.
What do you mean it isn't working?
All the inputs are active, the servers are aligned, but the reformat won't start. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, well, just think it through, Erica, right?
You can Would just... you just shut up, okay?
Here's a ghost router. God.
Server 3. Right, server 3 was upgraded last week.
Reroute the subsystems, damn it!
I know! 512-bit encryption!
I just have to configure parameters.
They need 1024-bit encryption.
Program's running.
Computer music.
What's going on?
The hard drive's reformatting.
What?
Oh my God,
it worked! The files are being erased. We're losing everything.
Well, make it stop.
I don't have the access.
Get the PX17 out.
Unplug it.
It's erased.
That's unplug it.
It's not as lit.
Oh no, the
PX17. We're in the mainframe room.
Here they come. We gotta get out of here.
Almost there.
Erica.
It's done.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it'll take a few minutes for the reformat to be complete, but there's no stopping it.
All right. You did good, baby.
You gonna be okay?
Unplug the phone jack. Disconnect it. Whoa! Oh, damn it! You shot me!
What a dick! That's what every guy's ever wanted to do, an IT person. Oh, did you fix it for me? Thank you. Blam!
The funniest thing was, he's like, okay, I got the AVI motherboard, and it's a freaking network card without a backplate.
did you fix my computer? It's sending emails now?
Yeah, it's all taken care of.
Thank you. Hopefully I have no more computer problems after that. Genius, love 24, and they set it up for next week. General Juma is going to basically infiltrate the White House, and it looks like it looks like Die Hard in the White House, doesn't it?
How the hell does General Juma get into the White House?
I don't know. He's got a whole friggin' army, like the Sangana army in the White House. I can't wait to see this because you know thing. Jack is going to kill like 50 people in this episode. He's going to
be... Oh my God. The halls in the White House are going to be covered in blood.
It's going to be awesome.
Like the Amityville Horror.
Awesome. Lots of good gunshots this week.
I loved whenever Billy Walsh shot himself in the arm.
He's like, ah, it's like a graze. Why even bother?
This is genius. I'm going to shoot myself in the arm. And then put the gun in her hand.
And I love Chloe's like, we didn't lose the information. I always mirror whatever I'm downloading on an outside line server. And he's like, oh, good. And she's like, I got it.
Then why the hell did you panic at first? Why didn't you just say, oh, don't worry, someone's in the system, but I've got this on a mirror server.
And see, Steven, they couldn't unplug it because they've already determined that you only get one download off this memory card. It erases itself after one download.
That happens with those Sony memory sticks. Yeah. They're very volatile.
That's why they don't sell very well. It's like, I'm not going to use this. Once I look at my photographs, they disappear.
They're just not reliable.
Oh, God, I love it. But, yeah, can't wait for next week. Let's go ahead and talk about Lost. And Lost was all about Locke. Now, see, you can almost compare it to this. Basically, Heroes was about unseen conversations. How did this come to be? How did Nathan get into this position where he wanted to lock up all the heroes? The answer was the writers just decided that.
Yeah.
And they had no answer.
There was no reason.
No reason at all. They just came up with that because
they're dangerous.
Writers.
They pulled it out of their ass.
Now, Lost, they actually have an answer. And what's cool, I love the idea that when you leave the island, you go to Tunisia in the middle of the desert, don't you? Because we talked about
that
earlier.
I was waiting to see a wampa.
Because remember, we talked about this earlier, where he wind up in Tunisia, and we weren't sure. But that's exactly where he ends up. Yeah. And there's that camera.
There's a camera watching the spot.
Yeah, the exit point. And there was this awesome scene. This was the reason for the episode, this season here, with Charles Widmore.
John, wake up. It's nice to see you again, John.
Do I know you?
Yes. I understand you've been confused. Imagine how I feel. I met you when I was 17. Now, all these years later, here we are. You look exactly the same.
Who are you?
My name is Charles Widmore. Tell me, John, how long has it been for you since we first met? Since you walked into our camp and you spoke to Richard?
4 days.
That's incredible.
The camera in the desert, that was yours?
Yeah.
How did you know I'd be there?
Because that's the exit. I was afraid Benjamin might fool you into leaving the island, as he did with me. I was their leader.
The others?
They're not the others to me, they're my people. We protected the island peacefully for more than 3 decades. But then I was exiled by him, just as you were.
No, Ben wasn't even there when I left. He was already gone. I wasn't exiled. I chose to leave.
Why would you do that, John? You've come to bring them back, the ones who left.
No.
I understand you lying to me. I do. But there's something you should know. All your friends who left the island, they've been back 3 years.
3 years?
They've gone back to their normal lives. And none of them has spoken a word of truth about where they were.
I have to bring them back.
And I'm going to do everything in my power to help you do that.
Why? Why? Why would you help me?
Because there's a war coming, John. And if you're not back on the island when that happens, the wrong side is going to win.
Now, after that, the black guy from Fringe shows up, and I kind of wondered if he was going to return, Matthew Abaddon. And I thought that... Just when Locke and Abaddon kind of start becoming chummy, you know, it's kind of like he's just getting on Locke. Locke's just arguing with him a lot and, you know, what do you know and stuff. Finally, when they kind of start having a rapport there, the guy gets wasted. Offed. He gets offed, basically. Kind of sucked. What I thought was interesting is Locke fails... When he talks to all of them, like, dude, you're crazy. I'm not going back. And he's just like all... And he visited Walt. And I thought that was kind of sad. I hadn't thought about Michael when he's like, have you heard from, you know where my dad is? And then you're like, oh, yeah, he died. That's pretty sad.
He's dead.
He's like, oh, last time I heard of your father, he was on a freighter outside the island. He's like, oh, okay. He's still kicking around there, I'm sure. But what was interesting is at the beginning of the episode, it started with the people. I guess they crashed near the Hydra station, right? On the other island. The people who were on the...
smaller island.
On the Akira. I don't remember the name of the plane.
Tetsuo!
They crashed there, and the plane doesn't look too badly damaged, does it?
No, it looks like it might have lost its wings, but that's about it.
Not like that plane on Heroes.
Yeah.
But I love the guys going through the Hydra station.
They didn't call it an airstrike on it.
The guys going through the Hydra station files and stuff, looking through there, and he finds like a nice shotgun. I don't know what's going on there. But...
I was kind of disappointed by that. Like, you got to introduce new characters now. I mean, come on.
Caesar?
Yeah.
His name is Caesar. I don't know. There's something.
Anna Lucia, too.
But, you know, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because they've done such a good job so far. this season.
I mean, this episode was okay, but I felt it was kind of filler. I mean, there were maybe one or two things that we already knew that were kind of explained more. There was like a little too much exposition there, and then it kind of proved that Locke really is just kind of a pawn. I mean, he's an idiot.
Right. But the Widmore...
He does what he's told. People play him left and right. Widmore's playing him. Ben's playing him. It just...
But you know what? I'm not sure Widmore's playing him. I think he's... Maybe he may be an asshole, but he may be right that he's supposed
Widmore's
to be...
definitely playing him because, I mean, Widmore's a... I don't know. There's just something about Widmore that you can't trust.
Well, they showed him. Remember when they showed him in the past? He was a little punk ass, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's probably still a punk ass.
And he was supposed to be in charge, and Ben tricked him out of it. I believe that part. The part about a war coming. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Well, we know now that Ben was never supposed to go back to the island.
Well,
because the people that were supposed to be there got zapped out of the plane. The people that weren't went down with the plane.
Right. And the thing is, remember when. Basically, Christian Shepherd, or it was Jacob talking through him, said, you know, Ben, he told me that he was supposed to do it. And he's like, when has listening to him ever got you anywhere, right? So that tells you right there that Ben was full of shit. So then later on, I guess Locke had forgotten about that when Ben is manipulating him again. Remember, Locke is about to just hang himself. He gives up. And Ben talks. I thought that was a really good scene, though, because I like it. Ben... talks him off the ledge, calms him down. Everything's going to be okay. And he even, you know, he's like, we haven't talked to his son yet. Everything will be okay. Maybe we can convince her. And he's like, no, I promised Jin that I would never bring her back. And he's like, what? He's alive? He's like, yeah, he gave me this ring here. And basically the problem is Locke tells him everything.
Locke just volunteers information to anybody that asks.
He totally trusts Ben at this point. And he's like, well, Ben's like, well, we don't even know where to go, even if we do get them all. He goes, no, yeah, we do. We go to Eloise Hawking at so-and-so address. He's like, thank you. Oh, and strangles him. Yeah.
Well, that even with Locke, he gets on the island, and they're like, where did you come from? And he's like, I don't remember.
I like that scene because of this. Early Lost, remember the first season or whatever? They would never ask questions like that, and it drove you nuts. You know, like, you ask Ben or any of the others, they wouldn't tell him answers, and it drove you nuts. Here, the lady asks Locke where he came from, and he's like, I was dead, but I guess the island brought me back to life. And she's like, nut job, and walks away. But he tells her the complete truth.
Yeah.
And it kind of shows you that maybe it doesn't matter if you answered anyone's questions on this damn island, because they're not going to believe you. Yeah. Because
I liked the one thing I did like was his reveal. It was like Obi-Wan in Star Wars.
Oh yeah, he's got the hood and he comes over. He's like the holy wise man sitting there on the beach.
Ben, old Ben.
And I like he had his suit jacket and the shoes there. He's eating the best mango of his life. I don't know. There's something about, you know what I mean. Like
that
compare this episode
because I like mango.
Yeah, mango's good.
Steven, I like mango.
But compare this episode to Heroes, which was essentially kind of doing the same thing, the background things we've been waiting to know, failed miserably. And you know, they're going to have an episode, why did Kate, who convinced her to go at the last minute, and where did she leave Aaron? They're going to have an episode like that, you know, but next week looks really cool and stuff like that. I can't wait to see it. So
but there's nothing much else you can say about Lost. It's good.
It's good stuff. Yeah, but I know what you mean. I mean, it was basically stuff that's already happened. Nothing new happened on the island, though, really. You know?
Yeah, this was the first episode in a few weeks that I didn't find myself constantly looking at the clock to see how much time was left.
But I did like that at the end where you realize Ben is among the injured of the plane that went down. He's laying there in the bed all banged up.
Dude got beat to shit.
And he's like, you know that guy? And he goes, yeah, he's the guy who killed me. Good stuff. But whenever that comes up, I'm like, damn it. Show's over. Yeah. That's why you need to watch Lost on DVD. You got the next DVD to see.
You know what else drives me crazy? Is that when I think it's over because of the clock, it goes, like, what, 2 minutes past the top of the hour?
Yeah.
So it's just like, what the hell's going? I get confused. I'm like, is it over? No, wait, there's more left.
There was a really cool scene that I like shots like this in movies or TV shows. When Locke is standing there, or he's sitting in his wheelchair talking to Walt, and Walt goes, well, it was nice to see you, Johnny. He walks away, and then they do that boom reveal in the distance. Ben is standing there watching the whole thing.
Creepy Ben.
And I thought it was interesting also, Saeed, you remember he's helping build houses for poor people or whatever? This was after he'd already done that for Ben, killing guys off and stuff. I don't know. We'll find out more later. Let's talk about Battlestar Galactica. This was all Ellen has returned, and the best scene is when she starts mugging down with Colonel Ty. And I love when Starbuck says it was like watching your parents make out. It was just like, ugh.
Yeah, that was disturbing.
And Ellen, she's like this, she seems different. She's not like that slutty lady that she was before because she's Cylon. But as soon as she finds out that Ty knocked up Caprica 6, she goes back to her usual Ellen, like all pissed off.
I was like confused by that. Like, okay, last week she's on the base ship, you know, talking all intelligent. Like, wow, this is a different Ellen. And then it's like, oh. Old Ellen.
She's all pissed off. And I like that scene where she's like, you guys are like our children. And then they're fighting and they're like, please stop, stop. And it's like, they are like their parents fighting and the kids are like, please stop doing it. Stop fighting.
That's exactly what I'm going to go hide in their room while they finish fighting.
And they keep showing Adama looking at the ship. They're putting on that Cylon putty, I guess. It's like Mighty Putty, I think. But Cylon Mighty Putty.
But I think the Cylon version of Ron Popeil developed it.
It looks pretty cool, man. I can't wait to see what happens.
Billy May sells it.
But am I right in saying
you got to mix the two things together?
The green and the white. Knead it really well. The best scene in the episode was Adama and Ty getting their drunk on. And let's just play the scene. I love these scenes where they're just getting drunk off their ass.
I'm just waiting for him to go, I love you, man.
Because in reality, they're in space. There's nowhere to go, is there? All you got to do is get drunk.
Yeah.
So the five of you together at last. Any mythic revelations?
Oh, nope. Nothing to report, sir.
You were born, right, so?
What?
You were born on Earth, yeah. I don't remember, but I wouldn't anyway. Nature of the process, right?
What the hell?
That's very machine-like of you. Great Grambo was a power sender. They're putting the stuff into her. Yeah, Cylon goop, you said. Yeah. If it works, she'll still be the Galactic on the outside, but... She won't know what she is anymore. It'll save her. That along with Cylon's flying cap. We need their help. Need your help.
Lauren, lead on it.
They don't think I see it. But I do. I see it.
So, basically, what happens is, you know, Caprica, she's having trouble with her baby. And that stuff was sad. But we also have the Baltar feeding the hungry children and stuff. This is a part that was completely unbelievable to me. I'm sorry, but I don't think there's any way that Adama would give them all weapons like that. Do you?
No.
Why would he give them, arm them? After he's already had this mutiny, you know? I mean, he basically, what Baltar says is, we're not going to mutiny or whatever. We just want to defend ourselves. I can understand that part, but he's giving them like boxes of automatic. It just seems crazy. I don't think he would do that. He would send the Marines down there to protect them first or something. That was a little kind of strange there.
Or why not just eliminate the group that's tanking
calm
all
down
of
and,
these food?
Yeah, get them out the airlock or something. Yeah, that you know,
frack
them. That didn't make
out
any
of
sense.
Character.
It didn't make any sense to me.
It seemed a little easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Nature of the process, right?
Exactly, Colonel Ty. I love Colonel Ty. He's my favorite character right now on the show.
Easily, yeah.
They've totally, they've got nothing for Apollo to do on the show, do they?
I know.
He makes an appearance. He makes an appearance. He's got nothing to do. He's in a suit and he's standing next to the president. And, yeah, we should do that, Dad, or whatever. And he walks out. And that's, hey, he made his appearance on the show this week.
Got his paycheck that week.
What kind of laugh is that? I love it.
Daddy was a belt sander.
It sounds like an animal.
I could just watch a show with a dog and Ty just getting drunk all the time. They're all stumbling around. It's great.
That would be good.
I need an AVI motherboard, but you're going to have to reconfigure it for a macro uplink.
Yeah, you got it. Well, I'll get right on that, okay?
Yeah.
But we'll talk more about Battlestar Galactica next week. What do you say, Bill? We do some news.
All right.
Let's do it.
Are you serious right now?
Yes, very serious. All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, Manchester, New Hampshire, a hazmat call to a Manchester Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant was determined to have been sparked by a hoax call, police said. Firefighters were called to the restaurant on Hookset Road because employees reported eye and skin irritation from a fire extinguisher. When emergency crews arrived, they found three employees disrobed outside of the building. The employees told police that the restaurant got a call from someone claiming to be from corporate headquarters who asked them to test their fire suppression system. When they did and reported that they had chemicals from the extinguisher on their clothes, the caller told them to take off their clothes and go outside. The workers said they became suspicious when the caller told them to urinate on each other.
What?
This was an episode of CSI.
Did they really do that, though? Did they follow
I have
direction?
A feeling that whenever they said, then the guy said to piss on each other, that they probably hung up the phone.
Hopefully they didn't take their clothes off, too.
No, they did.
Ugh.
Yeah, because they had their clothes off outside whenever the fire department arrived.
Right. So, no, you know, Law & Order did an episode with Robin Williams,
Order, yeah.
But it was based on a real thing that actually happened.
About the girl in the McDonald's?
Yeah, that was really effed up crap, man.
Well, yeah, that was.
This was pretty close to that.
That probably wouldn't have went as far as it did if the guy would have told the boss to urinate
you would
on
think
the girl.
After this has already happened to somebody, they would offer some kind of information in any place where... Now, if you ever get a call from so-and-so, just remember, they have to
Here's
prove
a code
it first.
Word from the corporation.
Yeah, come on, because people are stupid who work at these places, you know? Seriously.
They really are just completely dumb.
Or just like, you know, some teenager or something.
Or it's like going to be the number to call back to verify.
Right.
You know, he's like, okay, I'm going to call
big
back and ask for...
Blowdown.
Yeah, it's a big blowdown. That's what it is, Steve.
It is.
All right, I just wanted to mention this next story briefly. We've all been to those roadhouse restaurants where they have peanut shells on the floor.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Peanuts. In Tennessee, there's now someone suing a Logan's Roadhouse because they slipped and fell because of the peanut shells on the floor.
Oh man, somebody's ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, so that's pretty much puts the kibosh on the peanuts on the floor restaurants.
So, are you serious? We're not going to be able to have that anymore?
Well, I mean, if this person wins or gets a settlement, I think it's pretty safe to say that those aren't going to be around anymore.
Son of a bitch, man.
I like that Texas Roadhouse that does that.
Yeah, and normally the peanuts are pretty good.
You're going to have to hire somebody with a broom, basically.
Yeah. There's a great post on one of my favorite blogs, this IO9, about neurologists explaining why we hate George Lucas. And they're saying from this in this article about every time you recall a memory, it may become subtly altered and associated with whatever it was that triggered that old memory. If this trigger happens repeatedly, then you're adding a new layer of interpretation that will be recalled automatically with the old memory next time it's called up. So they're saying that a great example of that is the backlash against George Lucas. They grow up owning Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader figures, playing in the backyard, pretending sticks were lightsabers, you know, fond childhood memories. And then when the first horrible Star Wars prequel came out, the strong feelings against the film were just those of a disappointment at the bad movie. If it were that simple, we'd also feel the same way, you know, about other horrible movies. The reaction can be partly explained by a sense of attack on our previous fond feelings. Watching the new movie automatically calls up memories from the previous movies and all the pleasant childhood playtime memories associated with it. But recalling the fond memories in the context of the negative experience of the new movie screws everything up. So that's why we hate George Lucas now.
You mean not because he raped the Star Wars franchise?
No. It's a neurological thing, because the bad movies, the new movies are bad, the old movies are good, they meet in the middle, and then we just get confused and angry.
But if he'd have made good movies the second time around...
Well, then there would be no problem.
There you go.
So basically, this article is saying if the movies had been good, we wouldn't hate him.
Good, we wouldn't have a problem.
The reason you hate George Lucas is because he made bad movies.
Right!
Oh, thanks a lot! Thanks for writing that down for us, Mr. Writer.
You know what? You can thank the neurologists for that, because they spent God knows how long researching this and then putting it into this medical jargon talk to just tell us that the movie sucked.
Oh, my God.
I thought that was hilarious that they actually went through that much trouble.
It's like, we know why, because we love the first ones. We thought, hey, if he could do a good job with the next set, just the same way, explaining it all.
Don't take it personal, dude.
Duh.
All right. Next story from Saginaw, Michigan. A man has pleaded no contest to indecent exposure after police said he was arrested for performing a sex act with a car wash vacuum.
Yikes.
Man, those suckers are strong.
Whoa.
He sucked your own.
The Saginaw News reported 29-year-old Jason Leroy entered
Jason
a plea. Jason Leroy!
You don't know. You don't even have a clue.
Entered a plea Wednesday in Saginaw County Court. A no contest plea is not an admission of guilt, but will be treated as one at sentencing.
Does that really work, a vacuum?
I never tried it.
Yeah. But I guess when I leave, you can do what you want.
Well, I guess at the car wash, those vacuums aren't very powerful, so you wouldn't really.
I would think that would hurt.
Yeah.
Nature of the process.
It certainly doesn't feel like you. I mean, it confuses me. I mean, you gotta be really friggin' desperate.
I mean, seriously, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna stick my dick in this hat, and it's. And you're like, well, I've done it. Sunk to a new low. Where do I go from here?
No less. In front of people.
I will circle you like a moon.
Alright, Smyrna, Georgia. The police responded to reports Thursday evening of an armed shoplifter holed up inside the Best Buy store. Police said the suspect, a shoplifter at the store, who responded badly, said he had a gun, then climbed into the ceiling area of the store.
Nice.
Police closed off the store as a precaution until they were able to get the suspect into custody. Police determined the suspect was not armed once they took him into custody. That's genius. I mean, climb into the roof of the store? Into the drop ceiling of the Best Buy?
I don't think any of ours have. Ours don't have drop ceiling here. They've got, if you look up, it's all the grid work.
Oh, really?
You just see the air conditioning pipe and everything.
Yeah,
they don't actually have a crawl space or anything.
The local one here has one of those.
Maybe
terrible...
if it's cold climate, they actually have to majorly insulate them or something.
You know, we heard that NBC gave... we didn't hear it. We know it. NBC gave freaking Howie Mandel a reality show with his How We Do It shit.
Yeah.
Well... guess what? It's time for Jerry Seinfeld to get one. He's doing one called The Marriage Ref, which will feature celebrities, comedians, and athletes who will judge couples in the midst of marital disputes while recommending various strategies to resolve their problems.
Marriage
that sounds like a winner.
Ref.
Yeah.
The Marriage Ref. How do they sell this shit?
It's Jerry Seinfeld, and I think the people that run NBC, like that Ben Silverman, are pretty much idiots. So
they're just like, Jerry, he wants to do something on our network again? Woohoo!
Gold mine.
They're also nearing a deal to bring I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here to the U.S. for a summer show.
You will always
which I believe was on ABC before. So
you know what the thing is, like that Howie Mandel show, it's called How We Do It. And I was like, please don't tell me they do use that song. This is how we do it. It's just like so bad you can't even fathom it.
South Central does it like nobody
does.
It's
that bad. You know what? The Jamie Kennedy experiment was better than this piece of shit.
Oh, man. That's saying a lot.
Wow. I know.
Wow. Yeah, I can't even bring myself to even look at the How We Do It.
I used to be a digital crab, and now I'm off and trying to stay clean.
All right. Well, it's Girl Scout cookie season again. And
woo-hoo!
What does that mean? People stealing money from them.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't know. I swear to God.
Ricky Thatcher and Nicole Strickland were arrested Thursday after they stole money from Girl Scouts selling cookies.
Those bastards.
Two people accused of stealing the cookie dough from the local Girl Scouts have been caught and were behind bars Thursday night. They arrested them, and the girls were selling cookies at a Walgreens in the medical center last week when their cookie cash was stolen. They say it was $257 that were stolen. What the hell is wrong with these people? We had those two girls.
Yeah, I remember those girls. They're like, money's money.
All right. And last story. I had to bring this up just because it's so ridiculous. This kid wanted to play Call of Duty World at War. So he asked his dad. His dad, of course, not real big on the video game stuff. Didn't want his son playing a World War II-based game. So he eventually agreed to his son's request on one condition. His son would have to read all four treaties from the Geneva Conventions, and then he would be allowed to play the game.
Did he do it?
Yeah, he did it. The story was posted on Boing Boing earlier this week. It's been picked up by numerous gaming blogs. I don't know. It's just so dumb. Like, this kid could actually... he's going to sit there and read the Geneva Conventions. Is this kid going to absorb any of it? Does it really matter? Is it worth the hassle? Maybe the father thought, well, he'll never finish it. He won't bother.
He won't.
And then he'll forget.
Awesome. My dad used to do stuff like that. If you want this, you got to organize the garage or something. And hell, I'd do it because I wanted it, you know?
That's you know, doing work for work. This is reading.
I would have been screwed.
This is stupid.
First of all, they didn't have online and computers and stuff, so I wouldn't be able to look anything up. I would have to go to a library or something. Wouldn't have happened.
And I guess now, I guess because the story's hit so many blogs, of course, the commenters are all over the dad. And just, I guess he's getting email harassment from people that, I don't know what they're saying, but he says that he's been very taken aback by the comments.
That's okay.
That's how some parents deal with kids that want to play violent video games.
Learn the and story behind the violence.
Yes. Learn what caused it. Anyway.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week.
Thank you.
What do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do it.
Okay.
So what?
We do DVDs. Or you can go ahead and do the song and then play some Final Countdown because I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, again.
You got it, buddy.
Ow! Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! 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 HD! Blu-ray! Standard definition! The DVDs, everybody!
Tell the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
No. All right, Bill, let's go to the bathroom.
Okay, stop it, please. Thank you.
That's my favorite part. Yes. Yeah, it's final countdown to us losing our sanity.
They said in the chat room that maybe next time it'll teach me not to ask for that song again, but I think next time we should play Oh Holy Night.
Oh Holy Night. Oh, definitely. All right, Bill, before we start the DVDs, we just need this.
I need an AVI motherboard, but you're going to have to reconfigure it for a macro uplink.
Macro uplink.
I bet the writers are laughing their asses off when they're typing that stuff out.
You know what? I think you've convinced me that that's just one big joke to them, because it's just so ridiculous that it...
They can't be honestly serious.
But how hard would it be for them to, like, hire a tech guy to...
Yeah, I just think they're being silly.
Oh,
my God. Don't be silly.
I love that music. It's so shocking.
All right, Bill, what do we got? I mean, what DVDs do we have this week?
Okay, this week... I think the most important DVD to me this week is the release of Ashes of Time Redux. Now, Ashes of Time is a Wong Kar-wai film that has not been available on Region 1 DVD. It's been available in other regions in terrible, terrible editions. Just, they look absolutely horrendous. And this is the first time we get it remastered, the Redux version of it, on Region 1 DVD. This is huge for fans of Wong Kar-wai. So that's important.
And it's called Ashes of Time.
Yeah, it's a tremendous movie. Samurais, evil people. I mean, come on, samurais.
Is it like a period epic? Is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. So there's sword fights and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Sold.
It's nice, guy. Let's do it.
It's really, really good. Next DVD, on DVD and Blu-ray, we have The Flop Australia with Hugh Jackman and... the chick that has way too much surgery. Nicole Kidman.
It was a flop because they spent way too much money on it, right? It was like a huge
I think it was a flop
production.
Because nobody cared.
That guy, Baz Luhrmann, I mean, all of his movies look gorgeous and stuff, but I'm not the demographic. That's all it is.
I thought it was funny that everybody talked about how terrible the CGI was. Like, they're on some cattle drive in it, and all the cattle were CGI.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yeah.
The best you know that opening musical in the Oscars? The thing about the reader. The reader. I haven't seen the reader.
Yeah.
So they, like, didn't know. It was like a joke that no one has seen it, so they don't know what the hell to dance to on the stage.
Well, you know what? That's a good thing, because I saw it this week, and it's freaking terrible.
It's terrible? No!
Oh, it's really, really bad.
We will have a problem.
It's just melodramatic and just, ugh. It's typical Weinstein Brothers shit that they pawn off during Oscar season.
They released it in only a handful of theaters.
Yeah.
When I see the title, The Reader, I picture someone in a folding chair on their porch with a book, and they're reading. Doesn't sound exciting.
No, it's not. It's about, like, a Nazi spy and shit. It's.
I never met him!
Oh, neither did I. All right, next DVD... DVD of the week, Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Don't take it personal, dude.
On DVD and Blu-ray. So, if you want to get your 1080p Chihuahua on, you can pick this up. I think the worst is the commercial of them advertising it, where they go, "This puts the wow in Chihuahua."
It's like, wow, like, you're reaching there.
I was like, wow in Chihuahua?
Chihuahua?
But,
it's got that Piper Perabo in it, and she's cute, but not
she
worth...
She is cute. I would do terrible, terrible things to her.
Bill, why? You'd murder her?
Yes, exactly.
But the movie's not worth it.
I would have sex with her and then hunt her with a bow.
Yikes.
Okay. Is that Ty?
Oh, yeah, that lady who bit dogs, I think.
I like her. She's great.
Sounds exactly like a dog there. Sounds like a dog rubbing his belly.
he's trying to start his car.
That's Mr. Magoo.
Turn over. All right, moving on. I'm going to cover some Blu-rays here. We have the Blu-ray for... Now, I know a lot of people aren't fans of this movie because it's just gay. Brokeback Mountain is hitting Blu-ray this week. Not my favorite movie, but I actually enjoyed it.
Blowdown.
Even though it was very, very gay.
Yeah, you know, I have nothing against it. I just haven't seen it. I have no idea how uncomfortable it'll be watching it, but...
There is one particular scene that's very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to get into it because it makes me dry heap.
Dude.
Yeah, it's so far past dude. It's like, holy shit.
You know, I made a drop from the trailer. Before the movie even came out, there's a trailer. Like, what is this movie, Brokeback Mountain? But remember, everyone had a freaking Brokeback joke.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was just like, we won't even touch it. We won't go near it because everyone does it. They say Brokeback or whatever. It's hilarious. But I think the statute of limitations is over. We can play our Brokeback drop that we probably only played once on the show the first year.
Okay.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
That's it right there.
There you go.
But we had to call it off because too many people would reference it. It just wasn't funny. Instead of gay, you're going to broke back him. That means you're gay. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Not clever.
All right. Next DVD is a film that I haven't seen since probably the early 90s. It's Walter Hill's Johnny Handsome with Mickey Rourke.
Jesus Christ. I saw Johnny Handsome in the theater, and it's like Walter Hill's movie, like that one, it's like... you're excited and you watch it and then it doesn't not end and it's not really that great.
Yeah. Well, isn't that like signature Walter Hill, the movie that doesn't know how to end?
But you know, Lance Henriksen is a bad guy. He's great as a bad guy.
Oh,
he's a scary psychopath in that. And Ellen Barkin's like his psycho girlfriend. And Mickey Rourke, man, he is a great actor though. Seriously. He's always had the chops, man.
I still feel he was robbed. From the
Good evening, sir. My name is Steve. I come from a rough area.
I mean, it's like Sean Penn got the Oscar for what the hell was that movie? The Clint Eastwood movie,
Mystic River.
Mystic River, yeah. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, hey, you got yours. Give it to Mickey.
Is that my daughter? Yeah, that's my impression from Mystic River.
That's excellent.
Thanks. Give me an award right here.
Don't take it personal, dude.
Huh? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
My God, that's terrible.
I love what is the point of that silencer? It's as loud as a regular gun. That's awesome sounding, isn't it? All right, Bill.
Stop talking.
All right. I've been Watchmen, the complete motion comic. I've been watching this on Xbox Live since the first one. There's 12 chapters, just like the book. Each one runs about 30 minutes, so all 12 chapters together is 6 hours. And it is the entire book, minus the, you know, under-the-hood Hollis Mason inserts.
Right.
But
how would you even do that?
I guess you would show the page and have the narration. I don't know, but they left that out. But I just love this. I'm so glad it's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray.
You know, I got to say something about Watchmen, okay? Because I know Watchmen has been important for people for a long time because it was a 12-issue comic book series. Then it was turned into a graphic novel. But every review I read of it does not have to tell me that, how long it's been important to them as a comic book collector. Like, the Harry Knowles review went up, and I was like, don't read this. Okay, read it. No, yeah. don't read this. So I started reading it, and it was about he's collecting comics. And
Discovered it on my own.
I discovered it. No one showed me it. I got it myself, and I was like, hey, what's this? It looks great. And then I read it, and it means a lot to me. And then I saw it in the theater. It's just like, shut up! Freaking review the movie already!
I honestly wished that Harry Knowles would have had surgery complications and died.
Oh my god, Bill!
I just can't stand him. I can't stand his website. I can't.
I don't know. I don't know. I swear to God.
I love that guy. He's a great actor. But seriously, that review is just making my skin crawl about how, hey guys, I've got the props, the kudos, I've got the coolness, I'm a geek master, I've been a geek for years, and I can review this movie for you. Because yeah. I'm a geek and I read this in a comic store. And I didn't read the graphic novel. I read the comic book. I had to wait. I would read the comic. I would have to wait a whole month before the second comic. Oh, that gives me extra cred, dude.
Yeah, well, good for you, you douchebag.
Big
yeah, well, you know what? I discovered it in the early 90s in graphic novel form. So that makes me special because I didn't have to wait, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's just like, he's cooler than we can't understand the movie as much as him or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I hate that guy with the passion of the Christ.
And then I never met him.
But yeah, it just makes me ill. I don't even know why I read it. I do it to torture myself. But then when you read talkbacks, the talkback section of that website is just horrible.
Oh, my God, yeah. They're all just assholes.
First of all, don't even tell me. Anybody who your very first thought after seeing any movie is the CGI. Mm-hmm. You know, like Watchmen. CGI wasn't very believable in certain scenes.
Wait, they're all sex man on YouTube?
Yeah.
That sounded exactly like that kid.
Oh, what's that kid's name? Isn't it?
He calls himself Sex Man.
But I thought it was like Pruon or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's his ID, but he goes, this is Sex Man.
Yeah, he's this real nerdy guy, and he was reviewing, Bill sent it to me, he's reviewing Hell's Kitchen on YouTube.
And he's like, Seth really pisses me off. He's so annoying.
Pruane to ever. And he's like, Lacey, what a bitch. And I was like, oh, that's cute, this poor little nerdy guy or whatever. And then you read the talk back. It was like, dude, you're butt effing ugly. You should kill yourself. You effing fag and blah,
that's
blah, blah.
That's what makes his videos or the comments.
I know. People are so cruel. You should kill yourself. You're so ugly. It's like, good God. Why would you yourself through that?
What's sad is the kid just wants so much attention. He obviously doesn't get it at school because he's...
You know what? From now on, hey, if he does a Hell's Kitchen review next week, we'll play it on the show. I gotta hear it.
God, Seth, I'm so glad he's gotten kicked off. He's such an asshole.
Lacey, she's some beauty.
He's Canadian, so that kind of explains it.
Whoa, Bill, we have Canadian listeners. You just insulted them.
Oh, I'm kidding. I love that on his profile, it says that his company is Gang Bang Productions.
He's a clever kid.
How old is this kid?
He's like 12. Maybe, no, he's probably even younger than that.
Oh. Okay, I don't even remember what DVD we were talking about.
Watchmen motion comic.
Oh, has the one about the boat come out? Black Freighter.
The boat.
The Black Freighter.
The Black Freighter. That comes out in a week or two, I think.
What? I wanted to watch that before the movie came out. Damn it.
I think it comes out the week after the movie.
Damn it.
You're unbelievable, man. You're unfucking believable.
Well, sorry.
Freed Knott and Ken are from Canada, and they're like, hey, not cool.
Hey, I have nothing against the Canadians.
I have I was very traumatized as a kid whenever my parents dragged me to Niagara Falls and tried to get me on the Maid of the Mist, and I absolutely refused, and they dragged me on anyways, and I was scared shitless that the waterfall would put the boat under the water. So I don't like Canada.
What?
I know. I was like 7 years old, and we went to Niagara Falls, and they have that Maid of the Mist boat that goes out to the falls.
Hey, but what's that got to do with Canada?
But it's in Canada.
Will you step into a Tim Hortons?
No. Well, there's Tim Hortons here where I am.
Oh, okay.
And quite frankly, their donuts suck.
Oh, Bill, man.
They're terrible. I don't know what the thing is with Tim Hortons.
We have the NHL Center Ice, so I see Canadian commercials all the time. And I see one for that Tim Hortons bread bowl. Hey, you eat out of a bread bowl. And I'm like, damn, that looks good.
Bowl. It's bread.
I want to eat out of the bread bowl.
Get some broccoli and cheese soup and put in there.
I want the bread bowl.
Stop talking.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I do like the coffee can be good at Tim Hortons, and the muffins are good, but the donuts are god awful.
Bill, I think you made some enemies tonight.
No, honestly, I think it was the Maid of the Mist was at the Canadian Falls, the big ass ones that scare the shit out of you. I still, to this day, will not get on the Maid of the Mist. All right, moving on. I can't talk about it anymore.
He's having flashbacks.
I am. I'm getting angry and scared. All right, last DVD is Wonder Woman, the animated movie that Bruce Timm produced.
Wonder Woman, yes. Wonder Woman. This looks pretty cool. I love Wonder Woman.
Anything that has Bruce Timm's name on it that involves DC, I'll watch.
Yeah, you know it's going to kick ass.
Yeah. But, so this has some great voice talent. Rosario Dawson, Virginia Madsen, Kerry Russell, Mark Helgenberger, Oliver Platt, Alfred Molina, and Nathan Fillion.
Sweet.
Yeah, and I've heard it's actually pretty good. And the Blu-ray has a True HD 5.1 track on it. So I'm there. I'll watch anything that has a True HD track.
Totally, dude.
And that's DVDs for this week, March 3rd, 2009. I forgot to mention the date at the beginning. So.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs.
Thank you.
I used to be a digital crab, but now I'm off and trying to stay clean.
Oh, I don't know why that's funny. All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
And the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
Alright, everybody, that was episode 155 of Nowhere Moment. Snoop Dizzle, he's dead!
Finally, the West Coast, East Coast wars have caught up with him.
Yeah, finally the war is over. That was the last guy they needed to get.
The war is over if you want it.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening this week. It was a lot of fun and all that kind of stuff. I got nothing. But if you'd like to go to nowhereandmulberry.com, if you'd like to go to nowhereandmulberry.com, who named this show? I can't even say it. Send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail at 1206-202-3491, where you can leave voicemails like this.
Hello, where's Mulberry Bill?
Yeah, seriously.
Honestly, that sounds like Antibert.
Antibert? No, I don't know.
I don't know who it is. It doesn't really matter, but it still sounds like Antibert.
I never met him!
It's unfortunate. You would have really liked him. But if you'd also like to go to Mulberry Old School on there on nowheremulberry.com, you could listen to a bunch of old episodes. I haven't updated it in a while. There's like 4 episodes missing, but I'll get to that. But also, if you'd like to go to, I got nothing else. I can't think of anything. If you want to check out the forum, also go there at the NIM forum. They're located on the Apocalypse Hollywood forum.
Yes, and please go to the forum. Sign up if you're not, because the forum is where we get the majority of our feedback. And this week kind of sucked until today.
Yeah, today we got a lot, and it was awesome. Yeah. It's like after you post the show, a couple of days, we're like, well, no one's listening. Who cares? Why do we even do this?
All of a sudden, 18 popped up today.
And it's like, hey, well, I know why we're doing the show. I remember.
Five all week. Like, Swiley posted on Thursday, and that's always good. But then it, like, exploded today for some reason.
It got into Rob Liefeld talk, which was hilarious. Swiley discovered that site with the 40 worst drawings, and that thing is so funny.
I'm convinced that he is a demon offspring of U-Bull or Uvable.
He's a comic book Uvable.
He looks exactly like him.
You know what? There was one time where I was at a comic book convention showing my art when I wanted to be a comic book artist. He was right there in front of me. All I had to do was get in line to show my stuff, but I chickened out. So, you know, I can make fun of the dude, but I was too nervous to even show that hack my friggin' drawings.
You know. Even hacks are...
Because, okay, say this happens.
Even hacks
he's like,
can be cruel.
What if he's like, God, your anatomy sucks. I'm like, you're telling me my anatomy sucks?
You can't draw feet!
You couldn't cook my...
Yeah, you couldn't draw my... Beep. My tomato butter sauce. Oh, I want to wish my daughter, Emma, happy birthday. She turns 5. I'm
awesome.
So excited. Or should I've always heard, like, on the internet, you shouldn't say your child's birthday. Am I right? So
why?
I don't know. Just a lot of paranoid people about the internet. You know, according to TV, there are child predators everywhere outside. Never let them walk down the street or anything like that.
Is age really something? It's like address, phone number.
Or social security number. I don't know. Just you should always be cautious, Steven.
Who even knows that that's her real name that you've given out?
I don't know. Someone with a silencer could shoot you at any moment, Steven. You just got to be careful. Like
I
now.
Could be shot right now.
But, good times. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. How do we keep doing these long-ass shows? I have no idea.
By the way, I need more Facebook friends. So just do a search for Nowhere in Mulberry, and I'm there.
You know, that's another thing. I keep hearing Facebook, it's hackers.
Friend.
It's prone to hackers, Bill. They could leak all your information out.
There's
to
no
people.
Information on there, really.
It doesn't matter. Everyone's worried about hacking and viruses and child predators.
You know what it is? It's all about just fear-mongering, media fear-mongering. They love that shit.
I know.
I'm one of Bill's friends, so...
Well, I've got my computer totally... It can withstand anything.
I need an AVI motherboard, but you're going to have to reconfigure it for a macro uplink.
Yeah, it's got...
just put one of those in, right?
I macro uplinked it today, and it's like having 28 gigabytes of RAM, basically.
Awesome.
With a Ghost Router firewall with 10 gigabyte bit encryption. I got nothing.
Kick ass! That's ultimate.
Yeah, I really
stop talking.
Okay.
Luckily, you're going through the Ghost Router, so you can't be seen.
Yeah,
online.
No one knows what kind of stuff I'm looking at on the internet. You know what I'm saying?
And the chat from Mute Nausha said after the Canada bashing, he's not sure if he wants to be my friend on Facebook.
That's how you do.
You know what? Canadians do just as much bashing about Americans as Americans do about them. So, you know, I think mine offsets the other.
See, Canada has given us the great Degrassi, and it's given us hockey. Mm-hmm. So I have nothing bad to say about Canada. I have nothing to say about anybody but Harry Knowles and his shitty reviews and how he's cool because he collected, Watchmen issue 1, and no one helped me. No one even directed me to the comic book. He just found it on
a
friggin' rack.
What's the DVD store that he does down in Austin?
I can't remember.
Store in Austin?
Oh, it's shitty, dude.
His sister runs it.
It's the worst.
It's called Pedazzo Chunk.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Oh. I went there, went to it, and it was just like,
It's just a dump.
It's a dump.
He used to advertise it all the time on there, but I'm wondering if it's not around anymore. And this guy, he's every week, Bill, he's talking about the new Blu-rays he got. He gets all this shit for free, too.
I know. That pisses me off. I want to... I want to get free shit.
I know. Well, who do you write to get free shit? That's what we want to know.
Yeah, anybody that can get us free shit.
Tell us how to get it. We'll write. We'll do the writing.
My name is Steve. I come from a rough area.
Yeah, we come from a rough area.
We need
big
free DVDs.
Blowdown.
Totally free shit. Swag, if you will.
We will review your movies.
I used to be a crack at it, but now I'm doing podcasts. I try to keep from doing crack, but I talk about TV shows.
So I watch movies instead.
I used to be addicted to crack, but now I'm off and trying to stay clean.
Movies are my new crack.
It's like, I don't know any crack dealers or how to launder money. It's like, dude, this is all an act. I just do it to sell magazines.
You ever have those kids, though, come up to your door trying to sell magazines? They're like, I'm going on my senior trip, and I, you know, trying to sell these magazines to get money, and I hated that. When I lived in the city, it was like every year I could count on them.
And they teach them, never pause, never give them a chance to say anything. No. Just, I'm doing the senior trip, and I really need to sell these magazines, and I'm going to give me this, and I'll get lots of money, and I'll get a scholarship. And so it's like, hey, shut up for a second. No, I don't want to get off my property.
You know what? One time, the kid came to my door. He's like, okay. And I was like, yeah, sure. I hope you have a great time. Here, let me get Entertainment Weekly, Wired, you know, wrote the check out. And then I called my bank and canceled the check.
Dude.
I was like, no. F you, kid.
Here's the move. You say, yeah, I'd like to get wired in this. Hold on. Let me go get my checkbook. Shut the door and just never come back.
You hear the latch. You know, honestly, if the doorbell rings, and it does at least once a week, I look out the eye hole. If there's any kid holding a clipboard, it's like, F you, don't even answer the door.
Yeah. It's like, have you heard the good word of Jesus Christ?
Or what about the crap where it's like, we're going up and down the block installing new AT&T so-and-so, and we just happen to be in the neighborhood. It's like, shut the hell up and get out of here with your memorized bullshit. All right, guys, that's the show. I think we should end it. See you next week.
So what?
So buttons.
Don't forget to watch Heroes.
Shut up.